All right, everybody. It's time. I've been told the best show can start. How's it sound, Mike? Good. Tonight's going to be a fun show. What are we doing tonight? Simple. Make Tom laugh. Would help if I pointed the microphone at my mouth. Generally projects better that way. Now the microphone is properly placed. Now the show can properly begin. The best show tonight. Make Tom laugh. 201-332-3484. It's simple. You get 15 seconds. And if you make me laugh, then you get another 15. And the winner of tonight's show, I'll send you a special prize pack. How's that sound? I better not catch a dude in the hallway trying to call in, talk about Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. If I find out he's doing that, he's out of here. My friends, I would like to tell you about Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. They feature an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support over at Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to receive 10% off. That's offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And I know clothing is something important to the dudes in my audience. It's just it's like a runway show up in here when I meet the listeners, myself included. Now, in all seriousness, we could all stand to step up our fashion game, right, guys? That's right. And that's where Mack Weldon comes in. Socks and underwear? That used to be a boring stocking stuffer. Snooze. Now, thanks to Mack Weldon, that's something you look forward to getting. That's a good gift. Their holiday packs are filled with all sorts of clothing that you might want there. Suddenly Archie Bunker's doing the spot. Mack Weldon, what do they got over there? Let's go to the website right now and check it out. Mack Weldon. I'm going over to MackWeldon.com. Oh my goodness, look at all these things. Undershirts, t-shirts, socks, hoodies, underwear. Everything a guy could want. Mack Weldon's got it. It's nice stuff. Smart design, premium fabric. Antimicrobial, which means it eliminates odor. So look, you don't like the first pair you get, you keep it, and they'll refund it for you. No questions asked. Go over to MackWeldon.com yourself and check it out. MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your order by using the promo code BESTSHOW. MackWeldon.com, 20% off using the promo code BESTSHOW, and find out for yourself. You won't regret it. MackWeldon.com. Now it is time for the best show to begin.
You wanted the best.
Best show here. Another Tuesday night. It's time for the greatest single broadcast that you've never heard about. Right? Sure, we're not Serial or Welcome to Nightshade or whatever that thing's called. What is that thing about, like a town in Vermont or something? I don't even know what. People love it. I'm sure it's, what is it, like, is that like an updated version of What's-His-Face? Garrison Keillor. Welcome to Nightshade. Are they just like, weird things are happening in Nightshade? What town is that take place? What town does Nightshade take place in? That's what I want to know. What town? What is it? Strange things are happening in Nightshade, Pennsylvania. I think it sounds like it's the what's-his-face, the one fraud who has built the government out of millions of our dollars, Garrison Keillor. Basically, no different than he is the... He's the broadcast version of the $400 toilet seat that the military buys, Garrison Keillor, where charges America, overcharges, bills them. That's what he's done, Garrison Keillor, with his Lake Wobegon, where he... The government funds that. The government funds it. Your tax dollars fund that pile of trash. Could you just imagine? That's where our money goes. So that this guy can do his,
Old man McGillicuddy was in his workshop, building a toy sailboat. His number one project was building ships inside bottles. He did not have the same problem getting the ships out of the bottles.
And then the audience,
whoa, oh, 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 that means he dropped the bottle. Whoa, oh.
He did not have the same problem getting the ship out of the bottle.
Whoa, oh, oh, oh.
It's like a, it should be a villain in Die Hard 6, Garrison Keillor.
You think you can escape me, John McClane? I've taken everybody in this building hostage. Sure, I'll walk across this glass in bare feet.
So, yeah, so I don't even know what Welcome to Nightshade is. It's not like Evening Shade, is it? Remember that show? With Burt Reynolds? Is Nightshade, Welcome to Nightshade, anything to do with Evening Shade?
Welcome to Nightshade. Things are spooky tonight. In Nightshade, Pennsylvania. Beware, it is All Hallows' Eve. And on a night like tonight, ghouls and goblins rise from the grave and do their mischief on the people of Nightshade, Pennsylvania.
Is that what it is? I truly don't know. I'm assuming that's what that show... Look, maybe it's the best show that's ever happened, and this show, I should be in jail for calling it the best show, like the way Google... should be in jail for stealing my stuff. Maybe it's the best thing I ever heard. Nightshade. I gotta listen to that. Mike, pre-screen 16 episodes of this thing. Welcome to Nightshade. And give me the lowdown. Who knows? I don't know. Might be great. I'm not even making fun of it. I truly don't even know what it is. Thank you. What was Burt Reynolds on Evening Shade? A coach? Right? Who knows? What? He was. Dudio just said he was a coach. And boy, Dudio, who is one of the... He's the dude who built the studio. This guy, man. This guy thinks he's... you should hear where his ego is at now. He was talking... Basically, this is what he did. He wrote an email... He wrote a tweet. It was a tweet, right? He tweeted some joke about Hillary Clinton. And then some records got released this week where Hillary Clinton's staff was like, hey, after she finishes testifying at this thing, let's show her some of these funny tweets. And the first tweet that they said to show her was written by Dudio at Sonic Dork. You'd think, I'm telling you this, look, God love Dudio, one of the nicest guys I ever met. He's walking around here like he's waiting for the cabinet position he's going to get when, if and when she becomes president. Like, this guy thinks he's going to be, like, head of the FCC or something. Because she read a tweet that he wrote. And he said, Hillary this, Hillary that. Like, well, Hillary says this, and, you know. Well, you know, Hillary thinks that, blah, blah, blah. Like, God love you, Dudio. You ain't going to be in the administration. You got more of a chance if Herman Cain comes back. Starts running as Godfather Pizza. Right? On the Godfather Pizza Party. What if that was his... That's what he should have run as. Herman Cain should have run on the pizza party. And then said that it was a pizza party. If you vote for him, America will be a pizza party. And that 999 thing should have been his innovation, should have been to divide a pizza into 9 slices. That should have been 999 for him. And then he should have had 999 play at his inauguration. Speaking of play, what music did we hear? Oh my goodness, how about that song, Cold-Blooded by Hound? Is that the best thing? Their new album is called Out of Space. It's on SRA Records, Hound out of Philadelphia. They are... They are heavy duty, man. And who's in Hound? Big Steve from Ted Leo and the Pharmacist. Big Steve is in there. Big Steve picks up the sticks, man. Ain't no messing around. He's going for it when Big Steve... Someone is saying that it's about that... Welcome to Nightshade is about a haunted Arby's? That's not true. There's no way that's about a haunted Arby's, right? That sounds like somebody's trying to trick me.
Good evening, fellow explorers. Tonight, we return to Nightshade, Pennsylvania. But be on the lookout. Because the creature from the Black Lagoon is on the prowl. And he may jump out and scare you. As we say once again, welcome to Nightshade.
No idea what that show's about. There's no way it could be about a haunted Arby's, though. Never heard it. Never heard one second of it. Too busy doing this dumb thing every week. This sinking ship. before Hound. Sweet Talk from their album Double Perfect on 12XU came out earlier this year. We heard Good. What a good album. So many good albums this year, right? So many good albums. Look out, Denizens of Nightshade. The Phantom of the Opera is in town. And he's not happy. He's now the Phantom of the Arby's. There's no way that show is about a haunted Arby's. If so, I'm telling you right now, if that show is about a... If their thing has a haunted Arby's on it, and they're making the money that show makes, and that show makes a ton... Those guys, I don't even know, I couldn't tell you the name of anyone involved in that show. The money they bring in on that show... If they're making that and their thing's about a haunted Arby's, well, God, I tell you, I did something wrong. I don't know what to say. I played the wrong... You know what it means? I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. Remember that, Mike? Remember James Ingram, Mike? Just once... If we finally find the way to make it right, make the magic last for more than just one night. That's what I should have been doing. Should have been a singer, right? Totally mediocre singer. Look out, citizens of night. What is it, Nightshade? Nightshade. Look out, citizens of Nightshade. James Ingram's tour bus broke down, and he's worried that Frankenstein might get him.
Get out, James Ingram.
Stay away from me, Frankenstein, because your big hands are could choke me to death.
Bing, boom, boom, boom. Oh, what are we doing tonight? Make me laugh. That's right. Make me laugh, people. You, the best show listeners, your old old buddy Tom, he's tired. He's tired. He's been going pretty hard. First, it was Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving's not so easy when you had the kind of year I had. Don't go down so easy. It's not just... It's a combination. It's half stuffing, half sadness. So Thanksgiving wasn't so fun, but it was nice though. I was with my family, and we all had a good time. Then, went to Boston. Went from Boston to Toronto. Toronto, Saturday night. Saturday night in Toronto, Sharpling and Worcester live. That was one of my favorite nights ever. If anything Best Show related. So much fun. What an amazingly fun show that was. The band was so great. Damien from Effed Up put the band together. I want to thank every one of those guys for being in it. We had, Gary the Squirrel interviewed, my buddy Nick Flanagan. I saw so many people at that show. Chip Zdarsky did the poster for it. What a awesome guy he is. Saw my friend Sandy from Effed Up. I saw so many great people from Toronto, and people came from so far for that show. That was I saw Laura Lloyd, my friend from No Joy. She was there. So great. At the end of the show, get this. The end of the show, we did the opening Best Show theme. The band did it, and who was there? That's right, Paycheck, the one and only Paycheck, who wrote and recorded that song with Mr. and Mrs. Paycheck. They were there. But Mr. Paycheck was on stage singing it. And Damien was singing it. Nick Flanagan was singing it. Oh, my God. It was so great. And then I look, and Damien has picked up John. Like, he's holding John, right? Like he's carrying him. I'm like, oh, wow. He's holding him up, like, triumphantly. Like, John just was the winning pitcher in a World Series game. Then Damien sees me. John gets set down, sees me. Straight up just picks me up, throws me over his shoulder as if he's saving me from a burning building, and starts spinning me around. And I was like, oh, look, Damien's a strapping young man. But I was like, there's no way this dude, but I'm a strapping less young man. I was like, this dude's going to drop me. I'm going to be knocked out in Toronto. I'm going to get some awakening style, right? I'm going to wake up 25 years from now. Not the same disease as awakenings, but just the way he didn't know time had passed. Remember that? You know, Awakenings featuring the star of Dirty Grandpa. This movie, Dirty Grandpa, we'll talk about Dirty Grandpa later. Did you ever think there'd be a day where you would say, Robert De Niro is Dirty Grandpa? More Dirty Grandpa talk to come. But I'm going to tell you this, if you haven't seen the trailer for Dirty Grandpa, check it out. So Damien spins me around, perfectly fine, perfectly executed, sets me down. Then I picked Damien up, not over my shoulder, but still picked him up, spun him around a bunch, set him down. What a great night. Hung out in Toronto, went out and did karaoke. Went to a karaoke place, did a quick song, boom, back out, fly back to Boston. Do the show in Boston, so much fun. So many great guests in Boston. Had Josh Cantor put a great band together in Boston. You know him. The guy who's done all this great music for the show. Different bed music. Does the half hour power music. And we will be doing the half hour power tonight. Sorry, Dudio. Dudio wants to pull the plug on the half hour power. He wants to do a half hour of him just comparing Hillary Clinton's policies to the other candidates, just pointing out how she's the best candidate. And also, he wants listeners to help him craft his next gag to send her. And I'm not joking about that. He wrote a tweet, and then it was in like a document. Hey, someone show Hillary these funny tweets. She'll need a good laugh. And the thing is, it was like a well-executed joke. And don't take this the wrong way, Dudio. It was a well-crafted joke, but I mean, were they expecting her to go, whoa, like, no, it was a funny joke. It was a funny joke, but what, do they think she's going to be in a theater laughing at the screen the way Dirty Grandpa Robert De Niro laughed at Problem Child 2 in Cape Fear? Captain Fear? Cape Fear. Yeah. So that's what Dudio wants to happen to the half hour power. It ain't going, Dudio. Wrap your head around it. It stays. So, how did I get here? Oh, I can't remember. Boston, Josh Cantor. That's right. Josh Cantor doing the bed music for so many shows. He put a great band together for Boston. We had Mark Robinson was a guest, and Josh was up there. Gary the Squirrel talked to them at one point during the show, and met so many great people afterwards. Gary from Big Dipper was in the crowd, one of my heroes. So awesome. So, so awesome. Got back in the car after that show was over, drove right home to work. And boy, they got their money's worth from me at work the next day. That was an employee on his toes, focused, eyes on the prize. No, I actually did. I rallied. I pulled it together. That's what you do, guys. You splash some cold water on your face. You get back on your feet. You grind it out. It's all a grind. It's like that show Grindr. I pretended I was Dean Sanderson from The Grindr. Boy, his brother Stu always gets a business. Always getting the business from Dean. And his dad, Dean Sr., not very approving of... Never sees Stuart's side of it. Always just... That would be a very frustrating experience. That must be how that one Smothers brother felt. He must feel like the way the Grinder's brother feels. That he can't win. Can't win, man. But I'm telling you, Dirty Grandpa. Sounds like a parody of a movie, right? It sounds like a movie, it sounds like you'd see Robert De Niro is Dirty Grandpa in like Back to the Future, like in the future thing with the dystopian reality, the 2015. Yeah. That's right. Somebody just on Twitter, just said something. Dudio's too busy flipping cats and kissing up to the Hillary Clinton campaign to do the half hour power. Dudio's probably going to end up doing some cat flipping benefit for Hillary Clinton, right? Cat flipping for Clinton. Dudio presents cat flipping for Clinton. He'll take all the money. He'll be outside the Holland Tunnel flipping cats. And then all the proceeds go to the campaign. Night Vale. Night Vale! It's not Nightshade, it's Night Vale! How did I get that wrong all this time? That's right, it's not Nightshade. Welcome. Welcome to Night Vale. Fellow ghouls. Or is it hosted by like a horror host or something? Then is it like a movie? They show a movie on it or something? Like it's just like, welcome, tonight we'll be showing Dawn of the Dead. Look out, citizens of Nightshade. Bub from Day of the Dead is on the loose. The sentient zombie. He's made his way to Nightshade, and he's stumbling through the haunted Arby's, and he's hungry, but not for a big beef and cheese. He's hungry for human flesh. So yeah, so it was the shows in Toronto and Boston were so awesome. Thanks to everybody who came out correctly. I appreciate it. We had so much fun. And I'm going to say this. We have a show in Philly. We're doing a show in Philly to end 2015. December 13th, you go get your tickets at Stereo Laughs. That's LAFFS.com/tour. You get your tickets for it. They are selling. It's a big room, and we sold a lot of tickets for it. There's not going to be... I have a feeling that show's going to sell out. We are going to make that show... We're ending the year with a bang on that one. That one's going to be fun. We're going for it on that one. That one is going to be a special show. All of them have been special, but this one will be extra special. A lot of fun twists we're working on for it. So if you're in New York or you're outside of town and you were thinking about you're thinking about coming to the show, you should come to the show. It's going to be so much fun. That'll be worth it. I'm telling you, we're going to have a good time.
Look out, citizens of Night Vale.
Night Vale. That's worse. I like Nightshade better.
Welcome, people of Nightshade. Look out. Because there is a werewolf. And he's at the haunted Arby's.
I don't know, man. God bless them. I think they're making a ton of money doing that thing. I'm on a sinking ship over here with this best show. Those Nightshade dudes are racking in. They're driving around in luxury cars, eating. They're throwing lobsters at people like Jordan Belfort. I'd pick that lobster up that Jordan Belfort threw. All right, let's get. Oh, one thing I want to tell you all about, my friends, before we go to the phones and begin, make me laugh. I want to tell you, the best show listener. I want to tell you all about Squarespace. That's right, Squarespace. You know how hard it is to get a professional looking website online that actually functions and does what you want it to do. It's hard. You can't do that yourself. Coding, you're going to be sitting there with one of those coding books trying to do the thing yourself. Ain't going to work. You should be focusing on your ideas, the greatness you want up on the web. That's what you should be focusing on, not burdening yourself with trying to learn code. Not when you've got Squarespace around. No. Squarespace makes it easy to build beautiful websites without breaking a sweat. They provide simple, powerful, and beautiful websites that look professionally designed, regardless of your skill level, no coding required. Not only do they provide you with intuitive and easy-to-use tools to create that website with, Squarespace also has state-of-the-art technology powering that site to ensure stability and security. And you know you can trust in Squarespace for your website needs when millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world trust in them too. You cannot beat the ease and simplicity of Squarespace. 24/7 customer support online. A beautiful website. What the heck? Excuse my French. What the heck are you waiting for? Start a trial with no credit card required and start building that website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, you make sure to use the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for the best show with Tom Sharpling. Squarespace.com. Offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. And thank you to Squarespace for supporting the best show. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Welcome, citizens of Nightshade. Tonight, there's a new stranger in Nightshade, Pennsylvania. So bring your cats inside. Don't let him take them. He's the cat grabber. He'll take your cat and flip him. He'll turn your cat into two cats.
Good Here we go. Let's get this underway. Make me laugh is what we're going to try. You have 15, everybody who calls 201-3-3-2-3-4-8-4, you've got 15 seconds to make me laugh. And if you do it, you can keep going. At the end of the show, I'm going to pick a winner, and you're going to get a prize. I'll send you a prize. That's right, I'll send you a prize. Let's go to the phones. To whom am I speaking?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Amy from Rocky Hill.
Amy?
New Jersey.
From Rocky Hill, New Jersey. What's going on?
Not much. I'm listening. I'm getting ready for the rest of the holidays. Finished Thanksgiving. How you doing, Tom?
Doing okay.
Did you eat anything delicious?
When?
Over Thanksgiving.
Sure. I had a cookie.
All right. So I think I have two things that might make you laugh.
Okay.
One's about antiques and one's about John Wick.
The floor is yours, Amy.
All right, antiques. So I met this person who was telling me that they do historic reproductions of clothes for reenactors at Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going on and on about, you know, being a history buff and collecting great historic things. And so I said, what's your most prized possession? It was from World War II, and this woman said to me, do you want to try to guess what it was?
What was it?
Hitler's gravy boat.
All right, that's... I didn't laugh.
That wasn't funny?
I'm going to say this. I am extremely entertained by that, though.
Right, because the
Hitler's gravy boat
seems so frivolous.
Yeah.
And Hitler's not, right?
No, Hitler is not.
Right.
Hitler's like
funny.
The opposite of frivolous.
Right. I thought it was funny. All right.
Here's
another thing. All right. This is, I don't know if this is funny, but you tell me. So, you know, John Wick, I watched that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I could deal with the lack of reality in every part except, you know, the entire setup of the movie starts out where he's at the gas station and Vigo's son, I don't know, Joseph maybe sees him. But I couldn't get past the fact that it's in New Jersey
and
he's not pumping his own gas.
Yeah. He pumped his own gas, right?
No, I don't think they were.
They weren't pumping their own gas.
Right, and to me that was like, forget it. This movie's not realistic. Can't keep watching.
Wait, why would they pump their own gas in New Jersey?
No, I'm sorry. They were pumping their own gas.
Yes.
But they were in New Jersey, and I'm like, oh, this is unbelievable. Forget it. I'm out.
Well, look, Amy, I'm going to say this. Those are both entertaining things. I like the Hitler's gravy boat thing a lot. I want to know how much Hitler's gravy boat is now.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's troubling that someone would bring something that dumb in. You know what I mean? Like the trouble it would take to smuggle some Hitler item and then for it to be his gravy boat.
I know.
But I'll say this about the pumping of the gas. Usually, you're in New Jersey. People might not know this. You can't pump your own gas in New Jersey.
Right.
You try to touch that nozzle, you get yelled at. And secondly, why would you even touch it?
Right.
Why? It's one of the best things about New Jersey. You pull up and you say, yeah, pump the gas, right?
Right.
Pump it. I'm going to say this. Somebody's, this is a long 15 seconds. No, that's a starting point. Don't worry. We're going to move it along fast. Amy was just entertaining, so she stayed on. That's what. I'm saying everybody gets at least 15 seconds. How about that? Does that make you feel better? You rule fiend, right? I don't think these people caught up in the rules. Doesn't it always drive you nuts, Amy?
It does.
That's not
it
the
does.
Rules.
I have one more. Do you think this one might be funny?
For you,
I mean, I don't know.
Try it. I'm going to say you can try it.
Okay, so did you ever do, I'm not sure if it's called, I think it's called the Yankee Swap, you know, at Christmas where you pick a present, but then if you're number six, you can pick a new one or swap out with somebody else's.
I never understood that whole Yankee swap thing. It seems like some New England madness, right? It seems like something that, it seems like some H.P. Lovecraft stuff, right? Like weird, you'd do a thing about Cthulhu and tiny bowling pins and Yankee swaps. Just more weird stuff up there. That is a weird part. I like it up there. I'll say this about Cambridge. We did the show in Cambridge. I felt smarter being there.
Really?
But I also felt like I had less practical knowledge of the world, right? Like less actual street smarts. Like I felt like I could be tricked. Like
just
someone
for
could
being in New England.
No, just being in Cambridge like that. I felt like less of a sense of just, because look, all I got are street smarts, Amy. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing. I'm out here like the kid from Oliver Twist. What was his name again in Oliver Twist?
Oliver.
Yes, that's right. His name was Oliver, right?
Right. Yeah.
And he was like, "What did he say?"
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah. Please, sir, I want more.
More.
And he said that, and then. What did he get? They made him pick a switch, right?
Yeah.
And he had to whip himself with a switch?
And then he had to be a thief.
I'll tell you, though, with that food they probably had there, I'd be like, I could do with less. Please, sir, do I get a refund if I return half of this gruel? So I felt up there. I felt like I didn't have much street sense.
Aww.
Like somebody could take me for a ride. But then I got out of there and I felt my street sense return, but then the intelligence leaked back out of my brain.
I think you're selling yourself too short.
Like I couldn't make any E.M. Forster jokes. Right?
Uh-huh.
So let's hear the third thing. Did you say it already? Did I miss it?
No, I didn't say it. So I was at a Yankee swap. Just I don't know
what
else they call it. That's
right, Yankee swap.
Whatever, it's like a Secret Santa switcheroo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of half kids and half adults. So the presents were kind of a mishmash of, you know, scented candles, but then, like, I don't know, like mini figurines. And there was a kid who had, like, 1 pound of chocolate, but it was wrapped like money. So this child was super excited because it was kind of this convergence of two great things. And then an adult took the kid's candy.
Uh-huh.
And gave the kid a present. And the present the kid ended up with was a shot glass and a book of Sylvia Plath's drawings.
That's the most New England thing you could do. A shot glass and
so
Sylvia
sad.
Plath drawings.
This kid was so deflated.
Yeah, he should be.
And I thought,
sorry.
And I think it was funny because it was such a horrible gift, you know? But it was so, I don't know. It's not funny, like, ha-ha, make you laugh, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Sorry you couldn't make do with the Sylvia Plath drawings and the shot glass. Someday you'll realize that. Now make me an old-fashioned, my boy. Go to the back of the plane and make me an old-fashioned.
I watched It's a Mad, 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 Mad World twice
oh,
this
right.
week. Twice!
That's a good movie.
I watched the original cut and the longer cut.
I think Buddy Hackett's in that movie.
Oh, right? I know Buddy Hackett's in that movie. I watched 6 hours of it this week.
Did he like it? Does it hold up?
As a kid, I wasn't sure whether I liked that movie or not, but because it would just be on, and I was a little nostalgic because I would watch it with my family as a kid. So I put it on, watched it, and look, it's long. I think the worst thing about it is the song at the beginning. The song's maybe the worst thing in the movie. It's like one of those rollicking.
I know, but sometimes those things are still great. If you loved them once, you still love. I love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
But this movie had everybody in it. Why? They should have to do that every 10 years. They should have to make some version of that. So we have a documentation of all the comedians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's got everybody in it. It's got like Buddy Hackett and Jonathan Winters. It's his first movie. And it's
got Ed Wynn in it.
Who?
You know, the guy, like, he played the voice in How Many Licks Does It Take to... He was the lollipop owl.
He might be in it. I don't know. There's a lot of guys like that in it. Carl Reiner's got a small part in it. Phil Silvers is in it. Phil Silvers is, like, the greatest, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Phil Silvers is in it. Peter Falk is in it. Sid Caesar. Edie Adams. A lot of good people in it.
Did it make you laugh?
You want to know what? I did laugh a few times. I laughed. I also like the spectacle of it. I'll admit I like the spectacle of planes flying all over the place and cars smashing into each other. But they should have to make one every 10 years.
Can you make a TV show on that?
You can't do that. It's a TV show.
No, but wasn't there a TV show called It's a Mad, Mad World?
Well, I don't know about that. If they did it now, if they did that in movie now, it would probably be called It's a Sick Bleepin' World. Like, that's what the movie would be called now. Be like, right? Be like, Dane Cook would be in it. Carlos Mencia. Who else would be in that thing? If they updated it now. You think who? Louis Black would be in it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Louis Black would be screaming about, I want to get that money, right? Look here, if I can't get a plane to go and fly me, right?
Yep.
Seth Rogen would be in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais would be in the Terry Thompson role. Mm-hmm. Terry Thomas, sorry. The role when he's like, because there's this point, this, you know, Terry Thomas, this British comedian who's like, he's the most British person ever, where he's like, oh, hello, I am in looking for, like, it's like, it's such a bad, it's almost like he's doing a bad British accent. Mm-hmm. It's how his actual British accent is, but Milton Berle's in it, and he usually sucks in anything he does. Even he's all right in this thing. And Mickey Rooney's one of the all-time worst, and he's palatable in this thing. Right?
Who's your favorite comedian in it?
Phil Silvers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Try me. I'm gullible. 'Cause he's old, but he just looks like a living cartoon. When he pulls up, boy, he gets Jonathan Winters mad in that thing.
Uh-huh.
Hey, why don't you throw your bike over there and get in the car? Try me. I'm gullible. Do you imagine being an actor and you just have a voice where you talk like that? Hey, what are you talking about? What are you, crazy? What are you, nuts? Get out of here. Just with a weird, like the most affected thing you could imagine. Oh, it's so. The world needs more Phil Silvers. Right, Phil?
Uh-huh.
We need a new Phil Silvers, but we don't. Who do we have? The Situation. We have guys like that, right? Back then they had Phil Silvers and John F. Kennedy, and now we have The Situation and Donald Trump.
Ugh. The worst.
Right? Back then they had entertainers like Sammy Davis Jr., and Dean Martin, and
Billy
Bishop. Yeah, and who do we have these days, right? Who do we have these days, right? Who, right? We have Kim Kardashian. All right. I'm going to let
you
go.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom.
Thanks for the call. You have a great night.
Give it a shot. Take care.
Bye. Best Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Hi, who's this? The clock's ticking.
This is Benjamin.
Benjamin from, the clock starts.
Philadelphia.
From Philadelphia. You going to go to the show?
Yeah. Of course I am.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm real stoked, especially now that it sounds like it's going to be a pretty big deal.
It's going to be a pretty big deal, and I'm telling you, my friend, make me laugh. The clock starts now. Go!
All right, so I found a good way to mess with Star Wars fans recently.
Yeah.
So you know how J.J. Abrams is directing that new movie that's coming out?
Yes.
So when you're talking to a Star Wars fan, mm-hmm. just continually mix up J.J. Abrams and G.G. Allen.
Okay. Give me an example. How did it go?
Well, no one knows who G.G. Allen is what I've found out mm-hmm. through most of that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
That one kind of.
We tried. You tried. I appreciate it. I got to get this queued up. This should be a part of the show tonight. Right? Like, I'll fade this down and say goodbye to that music. I'll just have this ready. Okay. We'll have that ready. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Who's this?
My name's Doug.
Doug, where are you calling from?
Calling from downtown Pennsylvania, about an hour south of Philadelphia.
You going to go to the show?
I am.
All right. That'd I like to hear. Do you think you can make me laugh?
I don't know. I was going to give it a shot.
I like the humility. I like the humility. And I'm going to tell you, you have 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Thank you. This is a recreation of the David Crosby and Graham Nash interview scene in I Just Wasn't Made for These Times, the Brian Wilson documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So they're outside. They're by some water being interviewed, talking about the songwriting sophistication of Brian. Crosby goes, I tell you, Brian was doing stuff that nobody else was doing. I mean, the changes, he was using chords, things like, in my room, what year was that? And then Graham Nash addresses the camera, looks at the viewer, and goes, 65? He goes, yeah, well, it might have been 65, but he was doing stuff. He was using sevenths and ninths. Nobody else was doing that, man. Mm-hmm. And then Graham Nash looks at the camera again and goes, how does he do it? And Crosby doesn't realize that was rhetorical. And he goes, I'll tell you how he does it, man, by sitting at a piano for 12 hours a day uh-huh. and having that be your main deal and notice, man.
Oh, that is.
So that's it.
Oh, I'm going to tell you this. What was your name again, buddy?
Name's Doug.
Doug, you made me laugh.
Terrific.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Thomas?
Yes, who's this?
Frederick.
Frederick. Is this really Frederick's?
Why, it don't sound right.
No, okay, now it sounds like you.
I said the same thing earlier.
Now it sounds like you. It sounded like somebody doing an impression of you for a second.
Okay.
Now it's definitely you.
It feels like me.
Yeah, now it's totally you.
Can you make it so we can hear the show while we're on hold?
I don't know. No, we can't.
You can't.
No, sorry, buddy.
Well, it was nice in the old days.
Yeah, sure was nice in the old days.
Anyways, I got two questions and, well, one question and two comments.
Okay. And let me just say, hold on.
Okay.
For people who don't know, and I know we have a lot of new listeners checking in because everybody saw that hot review that the AV Club gave us. Podmas couldn't stop raving about the best show this week. And what was that phrase they used, Jason? basically, so we have a lot of new listeners, and we have a guy on the line right now who's one of the longtime regular callers. This is a guy who, he's from Newport Richey, Florida, which, if you've ever seen Gummo was based, was originally supposed to be filmed in Newport Richey, but Harmony Korine was just like, yeah, no, we got to click this down a few notches.
He got a little uncomfortable hanging downtown, yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't walk with the guys of Newport Richey, who burn Christmas trees for entertainment, and they're just living a crazy life. Thank you. The AV Club said that I am making recent attempts to revitalize the show. That was heartening. So Fredericks is one of those guys who calls.
I didn't hear that, Tom.
That's you.
That's nice of them.
Sure.
To mention you.
Yeah, jeepers. What the floodgates are just open now. The 11 people who read AV Club now are complaining about the show under 60 different names in the comments section. Now, Fredericks is one of those regular callers. He's a guy, he's kind of like if you crossed if Mark Twain was on Cops, right?
Getting arrested.
Yeah. Picture if Mark Twain was hiding under a kiddie pool in a backyard, running from a cop. That is Fredericks. Fredericks would have a shirt on. I think he'd probably be wearing one of those free cigarette shirts that they whenever cigarette companies.
Best Show shirt.
He'd wearing either a Best Show shirt or like some sort of like Newport. Alive with Flavor shirt, or some like bootleg Jimmy Buffett shirt that he couldn't sell all of them when he was.
They were at Walgreens. Yeah. I didn't buy it. Yeah. They were selling some shirts that said "I am Newport Richey," and I almost bought one and wrote in with my Sharpie Fredericks. But
you have to do it now.
I don't think they're there anymore. I think they changed their marketing. I think they're the Playful City now.
Yeah. Now they just sell everywhere else shirts that say, I'm not Newport Richey. Every other town in America has a shirt that says, I'm not Newport Richey. Yeah. So, Fredericks, go ahead. What were your questions and comments?
I'll give you my other comment right now. You know, the Supreme Court decided that corporations were people.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
So I think we should call Google out in the back alley. Settle things like people.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do it.
Okay.
I'm telling you this because, again, for people who don't know, Google ripped me off. Straight up. That's clear. There's no two ways about that. For years, there's been a song on the show called Come On Y'all, It's Time to Have Fun, which was meant to be something sold to commercials. And then this Google commercial takes the song and they change it to Come On Now, Let's Have Big Fun.
And they said, hey, that's not your song.
And I know at some ad agency, there's a kid up there going, I thought it was a tribute. I thought he would think it was funny. Yeah, I didn't ask for no advertise. You want to do a tribute? Go build a flipping statue. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right?
A tower.
Go build a tower. Don't change two words of my original thing in a commercial you got paid for some.
Yeah, he probably made $60,000 on that.
For some horror show of a company too, right?
Oh, well, you know I'm not Google guy anyway.
I know.
Look, an Ixquicker.
Some nightmare. I like it. Ixquicks. Yeah. Good for you. I like it.
Thank you.
So yes, that's how we should settle the thing with Google. It's out in an alley.
Yeah, in the alley.
Like the end of Rocky V, right? Remember Rocky V? Remember when Sylvester Stallone fought that guy out in the alley? His protege?
No.
Well, check it out.
I only saw Rocky 1.
You only saw Rocky 1. What, are you working your way through the series? Are you taking your scenic route?
No. I'll probably never see another Rocky movie, quite frankly, Dom.
So what else you got, buddy? What's the other question?
Question you want?
You said you had a question and a comment.
That's what's left. I was going to go with the comment.
Go with the comment.
This is just to support you. You know how you talk about how history is so much mythology and stuff?
Yes.
And, you know, like you were talking about the guys on the girder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard about the people jumping out, the stockbrokers jumping out of the buildings during the Depression?
Mm-hmm.
Only two people jumped out of buildings.
Yeah, so two people did it.
When the crash happened.
Yeah.
And neither of them were like Wall Street bankers. It was a secretary and a janitor.
See? The mythology.
Yes, lies.
Lies, man. That's why we need guys like you to blow the lid off the lies.
And push the truth down their throat.
I love it. Keep it up, buddy. You know I'm on your side. You know I love you, Fredericks.
Yeah, I know. You're a funny guy. Ooh, I do have something for you. I don't know how to send it to you, though. I have an MP3 I made for you.
Okay, well,
you know email? Can I send it, a whole MP3 in an email?
Yeah, give it a shot. We'll see what happens.
All right.
If it don't go, we'll...
Kelsey Grammer falling off the stage.
Send it to me. Give it a shot. If it's too big, we'll figure something out.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Now we're going to go on to question.
Jesus Christ. Okay, go ahead.
Mac DeMarco? Did you ever hear of him?
Mac DeMarco. Who is that now?
He's a Canadian musician.
Mm-hmm.
Who's supposed to be a very nice guy, and he said on his album that if you come to his house, he'll serve you a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And everybody that tried it, he did.
Yeah.
But they're describing the music he does as slacker rock, blue wave, or jizz jazz.
All right.
I don't know what to make of this.
Well, have you heard the music yet?
Yeah, it sounds like indie folk. Okay. I don't know where jizz jazz comes from.
All right,
from,
don't say that
maybe
anymore.
Maybe our listeners could help us out.
Yeah, the only person who can help me out is to help me walk into traffic if you say that one more time.
I won't say jizz jazz again.
Well, you did. Goodbye. I'll hang up on anyone, including you. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to try to make the host laugh.
Okay, well, this is the host.
Okay. All right, so there's this priest, and he's an old priest, and he goes into a bakery, and he walks up to the woman behind the counter, and he says, "You need the juiciest tart in the..." He says, "I want the juiciest tart..." No, that's not it either. I don't know. I'll just juggle these explosives.
Wait, what? Is he gone? Hello? He blew up. So he juggled explosives. He couldn't get a joke right. And then he... Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Tom?
It is.
Hi. Wow, this is Graham from Toronto.
Graham from Toronto. Did I see you the other night?
No, I wish I had, but I'm a newcomer to your shores.
You didn't go to the show. We were just in Toronto. We were on your shores.
Yes, I know, but I am literally about 3 days into your show.
Ah, really?
I have listened to pretty much all of your episodes that I can find on the podcast, but yes, I am.
Wait, if in 3 days you haven't looked very hard, if you've heard them all in 3 days. We've been doing this for about 15 years.
I've listened to about 40 of your shows.
Really?
40 of your 3-hour shows.
Are you being held captive somewhere?
Pretty much. you know, captured by you, so.
Well, that is sweet. What's going on, Graham? You going to try to make me laugh?
I wish. I've heard, so from the first, I think, the first one or two of your episodes, you said that you did not like Rush, and I have a serious problem with that. I sincerely, everything you do, I find hilarious.
All right, well, let's
but,
let's get to the bottom of it now. Sell me on Rush. Give me the pitch.
I can't sell you on Rush. If you don't like Rush, you don't like Rush.
Well, look, this is the thing. This is my problem with Rush.
I just want to say there are about two types of people in this world. There are the people who don't like Rush and there are people who do like Rush.
Yeah.
And as much as I love you, if you fall into the type of person who does not like Rush, I don't know what to do. I mean, I will still listen to you religiously, of course, but...
Three-day religion. Boy. You've been on board for 3 days, Chief.
I've listened to 50 episodes in 3 days.
You gotta slow your roll there a little bit before you start throwing around religious in the thing.
Well, yeah, okay, that's true.
This is what I'm going to say. Look, I got no problem with Rush. I just think that a lot of people, especially a lot of Canadians, feel they have to defend Rush no matter what.
No. I understand. But, like, you love King Crimson, right?
Yeah.
Or yeah, so do I. And you love, well. Yeah.
And all Rush did was lift. Rush is like Led Zeppelin without any blues element in it. Remove.
Okay, I agree.
And add in songs about, like, what's that song called? Mitor and the Snow Wolf? What is that?
Bitor and the Snow Dog.
Bitor and the Snow Dog. How's that one go again?
Bitor and the Snow Dog. Saint Joe, return the people. Save the day.
And what album is that on? Moving Pictures.
No. That's not on Moving Pictures. That's on Fly By Night.
That's the one with the owl on the cover, right?
No, Fly By... Yeah, that is... Yeah, Fly By Night has the owl on cover.
Yeah. What's the one that just is in black and white and pink and says, Rush!
It
looks like it's from a cartoon. Rush! Right?
Yeah. that's their self-titled debut, Rush. It sucks.
It does?
Like a lot of their later albums, Rush.
Does it have that song? What's that song that they... That... I watched the Rush documentary, right?
Yeah, the... what's it called?
I don't know. You tell me, Rush maniac. You're the one who worships Rush.
I saw it in theaters, but I don't remember what it's called. Something, All the World of Stage or something.
Who's better, Rush or Henry Rush?
I don't know who Henry Rush is, so I'll say Rush.
Okay. It's Ted Knight's character on Too Close for Comfort. Henry Rush.
Well, okay, then he's better then.
Monroe. Oh, boy, Monroe drove him up the wall. So, you, Graham.
Yep.
I'm wide open right now. You sell me on. Just tell me, name three perfect Rush songs.
Okay. So, 2112, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's a song?
Yeah.
2112.
Never heard it.
And how's that
2112. Well, you'll hate this, but it's a 22-minute epic.
No, I like 22-minute epics sometimes.
It's classic. So Rush was about to get canceled. They were pretty much going to get shut down. They had two albums out and...
Wait, what were they, a TV show?
Yeah, pretty much. And Canada hated them. Everyone hated them.
They're going to cancel our band. Bands don't get canceled, Graham.
Well, you'd be surprised. Especially in Canada, that's how it happens here.
So 2112. Give me other songs. Two other YYZ. Perfect. YYZ?
You don't like YYZ?
That sounds like a sound check.
Come on.
Bing, boom, bing, boom, bing, boom, bing, 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 boom. That's the one, right?
No. And so forth.
Yeah. And what's the other one? What's the other perfect one?
Well, I don't think any band has any perfect songs, but...
The world waits on my shoulders, but what am I to do? What about that one? I sometimes think about you, and I'm crazy about you. What about that
song? No, I hate that song.
You do?
That's just an early warning. I hate that song.
All right. What about...
Yeah, go for it.
What about that one song, Hard Driving Man? What's that song called? You Wanna Be a Hard Driving Man, right?
Is it New World Man?
I don't know. You tell me. What about, Babe, I'm Leaving, you say it once again, the time is growing near. Do you like that one? Is that a good one, or is that too late for you?
No, they're all good. One last thing. I don't want to take up your airways, but one of your early episodes, you say that you don't like "Simple Man" by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah. What is this? What am I, a trial here?
No.
You've listened to 800 hours of the show in 3 days, and now you want me to answer for the perceived crimes that I've committed.
You like that snort?
I do, actually. I get what you're going for with that.
I'm just saying, you know, I hate Lynyrd Skynyrd, but that's one of the few songs that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, give it a shot, for sure.
All right. Are there any other Lynyrd Skynyrd songs I should check out? Is that the only
one? Yeah, Tuesday's Gone. That's the only other one that I think is good.
Tuesday's Gone. What is that? How's that go?
Check it out. It's Tuesday's Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Check it out. No, seriously, you would like it, I think.
All right.
I feel like I know you.
Well, is there a single best Rush album I should check out?
Well, everyone would say Moving Pictures, but I think you should check out Permanent Waves.
Why that?
I kind of feel like I'm going to get...
Oh, boy. Young man. What? You think we'll be hearing from him again, Mike? What makes you think that? Yeah. He found me. He might want to go check out Welcome to Nightshade. They're welcome to him. I like him, though. He seems like a sweet kid. Who's good here, Mike? Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Rob from Rochester, New York. How you doing?
Rob from Rochester, New York. What's up, Rob?
Hey, first of all, I do have the box set, so could I play the 30-second card, please?
Yes, you can. Anybody awesome. Who Thanks, buys Tom. The Best Show box set, you bought yourself 30 seconds of airtime, the Sharpling and Worcester box set. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know how you and Fredericks were talking about Google and how they wronged you. I actually came home today to find that they tried to bribe me. I got a package that said Google and Happy Holidays on it. I opened it up, and inside was a Lego set that can be built into a cell phone holder and an extra USB cable. But I will not be bought. I'm going to stand by you, Tom, not by Google.
Good. Thank you. These rats at Google, this rat company only making the world a worse place with they're people. If companies are people, Google is a peeper. That's what they are. It's like a sex criminal staring in windows. That's what Google is. Google.
Wow.
Hey, I'll get you on Google Maps, right? Google Maps. Oh, great. What do you mean? So a van drives around taking pictures of my neighborhood?
They should have Google Peeper.
Yeah, who asked you? You're on Google Maps. Well, is Google Maps any good? Oh, no, it's not. It's terrible, actually. But don't worry. We'll put your picture on our website.
Maybe they could add a little ladder icon to give you a couple feet boost when you're on.
They might as well. These rats, these bums, right? These bums. I want to know the bum ad guy. And look, I know it's some kid who's like, he's probably crying every night. I thought he would like it. I thought he, but you know what? You took my thing. And you also boxed me in, you bum. I can't chase that. What am I really going to do? Sue Google, chase after them? It's bad enough they took something from me, right? They already took something right from me. Well, am I going to spend more of my time fighting for a thing now? I ain't got that much life left to go spend ages chasing after something I might not get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it's worth it, though. I mean, I remember that from back in the day, you know, come on, y'all, it's time to have fun. It was a great song.
Thank you.
And, you know, the worst part of it is it isn't just something that you incidentally came up with. You came up with it for the explicit purpose of selling it to a company to do ads with.
Yeah, exactly.
And they stole it from you for
you
that same
it
purpose.
You get it.
What is up with that?
I don't know. I don't know. But really, what am I going to? I'm going to flush months of my life down chasing them so I can put a lawsuit together and money and all this stuff. And then I look back. I'm like, well, I chased after Google and got some settlement so much lower than I wanted, but I flushed so much time away. Right?
Yeah, tilting at windmills, you know?
I didn't want that. I still got work to do, man. The good stuff. I got the good stuff to do. I don't have to play down to Google's rules. Google,
yeah.
Let those rats rot with their own lot in life. Let them rot with that. I don't have to rot with that. I'll take it again. Another loss for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another
yeah
loss, but I'm here to make good stuff, my friend.
You'll live to fight another day.
Or not.
No, the best show is still standing.
Thank you.
And I stand with the best show.
You
stand.
Like
all of us friends of Tom stand with the best show.
What's your name, buddy?
Rob.
Rob?
R-O-B, Rob.
Rob, okay. Rob?
Rob.
I got to say, Rob, you're an all right guy, Rob.
Thank you, sir.
You're all right. I want you to be a caller because you seem like you're on point. We had a dude problem on the show. A lot of bad calls from dudes. You got some good energy. You seem positive. You're all right. You're all right by me, Rob.
I'm RPM 1200 over on the forum. So I'm the guy who took your first sound collage and tried to start annotating
it. Good. I love it. You know who was at the show in Toronto? Toronto's sex dwarf Alex was there.
Oh, that's great.
He was there. He's a nice guy. I felt bad. I kind of zung him from the stage. And I felt a little wrong about that. That was so I'd like to publicly apologize to Toronto's sex dwarf Alex for using my position of power on stage.
But I think you would have to apologize for
me. Let me finish the apology, Rob. I would like to apologize to you, Toronto's sex dwarf Alex. I used my position of power to get 500-plus people to laugh at you. Just because you played the song Sex Dwarf by Soft Cell when you were breaking up with someone. Don't know why he put it on, why he thought that was good breakup music, but he did what he did. I salute you, Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex. Toronto needs guys like you. Now go ahead, Rob, what were you saying now?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, I think you might have had to apologize to him if you didn't sing him. I mean, that's a badge of honor, isn't it?
That's a fair point. I take that apology back. Take it back. Sorry. It was on the table for about 20 seconds, Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex. You want to blame somebody, you blame Rob from Rochester for taking it away from you.
Oh, no. Sorry, Alex. Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex, that is.
Yeah. All right.
Hey,
but look, but seriously, look, I'm going to say this, Rob.
Yeah.
A sidebar.
Yeah.
This guy, Toronto's sex dwarf Alex, who makes a decision like that? To be like, I'm going to break up with someone. And then he goes into the restaurant or the bar ahead of time and he tells the guy, when you hear me saying it's not you, it's me. Put the CD on, track 4.
Oh, no.
Nonstop, it's a CD called Nonstop Erotic Cabaret.
Cabaret,
Soft Cell. Track 4, Sex Dwarf. Turn it up loud. I want this thing loud. But that's on him. That's his business.
I could just picture that, though. You know, isn't it nice?
Oh, I could look. Again, I met the guy. I met the guy. I can definitely picture it. I met the guy. Nice guy. Nice guy, but he, faulty, little fault. Let's just say I wouldn't want, if we were in a Sully Sullenberger position, I'm on a plane I'll take Sully Sullenberger over, Toronto sex dwarf Alex making decisions. I'll be on the plane going toward the Hudson and, Toronto, I'll hear sex dwarf over the PA system on the plane. Thank you. You're all right, Rob. Call back soon. Got to let him off before he goes south. I can feel like that guy needs a little molding. A little molding. We'll get him there. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, my goodness. On the shoulders of giants. Roll Tide. Now, for people who don't know, I mentioned earlier a Fredericks who called and mentioned his all his craziness down there in Newport Richey. Here's another guy from the other side of the Mason-Dixon line. I know a lot of you snobs up north, you think the people down south are nothing more than, you think it's the Dukes of Hazzard and Hee-Haw, and you're not wrong. Those things, it pretty much is that down there. But there's also like six guys like this guy on the line.
Yeah.
Two. There's six guys like that who weirdly were born down there who were supposed to be born up here.
Yeah, I could not be more of my Alabamian if I wanted to be, yet somehow there's an X factor.
No, this is a guy from Huntsville, Alabama, the breadbasket of America, just the heartland. Right? Wait, no, that's not the heartland. The heartland is like about 1,500 miles away from where you are.
Yes. Right. And specifically in Huntsville, we make rockets and we make weapons.
Yeah. And one other thing you also make? Championship football. Roll Tide.
No, yeah, in Alabama we make that's correct. We make championship football.
Roll
hopefully.
Tide.
I don't want to jinx it, but hopefully we're...
What does that mean, Roll Tide? Just honestly, can you give me some context for what that...
Yeah, it's not exciting. So they wear crimson.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently some sports... All these things start with something some sports reporter said.
Mm-hmm.
Or wrote. All these nicknames and stuff like that. So, like, some sports reporter said that they looked like a crimson tide rolling in, I guess, like a
oh,
field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they officially are the Alabama Crimson Tide. However, their mascot is an elephant.
So it's almost like an elephant running through a sea of blood.
Of blood, yes.
So the team could have also been called the Blood Elephants.
The Blood, yes, the Alabama Blood Elephants.
Right? Let's go. Let's go, Alabama. You're Blood Elephants, damn it.
The elephant would, like, shoot blood out of its trunk.
Out of its trunk. Right? If I was the dean of a small school in Alabama, I would just change the name of my team to the Alabama Blood Elephants and just milk, just hope that they sued for some reason.
Yeah.
The Alabama Blood Elephants. The coach takes him at halftime. You guys are blood elephants, damn it. Play like it.
Yeah.
Right? And then the fans, all the people in the audience, they all just like spray blood on the other team.
Right. Instead of yelling Roll Tide, everyone would just say,
yeah.
Blood.
What's your favorite song that the marching band plays?
Oh,
what's the song Rammer that gets Jammer. You pumped? What song?
Rammer Jammer, which is the classiest two minutes in sports.
Rammer Jammer?
Yeah, Rammer Jammer.
Wait, it's the classiest 2 minutes in sports?
Not really, but it's my favorite thing. So when Alabama beats a team, it doesn't matter if they beat them by 1 point or by 100 points. They sing this song. The fans sing this song. Band plays it, and the fans. Anytime you watch Alabama, listen after they win, and you'll hear it as they're talking to the coach on the field. You'll hear Rammer Jammer going on in the background.
Rammer Jammer.
Close. Would you like me to sing Rammer Jammer?
I would love it if you. I didn't know if you weren't allowed to. Like it's just like
I can.
I didn't know if it was the kind of thing. If I was like, Jason, could you sing Rammer Jammer for us?
No, you'd this be is
like
public.
You'd be like, it's a Tuesday, you idiot. I can't sing Rammer Jammer on a Tuesday.
Right. But no, so, this is good. We can sing Rammer Jammer.
I would love to hear some.
So it depends on who you've beaten. Mm-hmm. And so you usually put the name of the team's mascot in the song. But if it's Auburn, if you beat Auburn, which we beat Auburn this time, mm-hmm. you say Auburn because they are we have a special level of hatred for them. We say that we saw them out by their name. So Rammer Jammer goes like this. It goes, dun, 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 and you go, hey, Auburn, we just beat the hell out of you. Rammer, jammer, yellow hammer, give them hell, Alabama.
You're right.
They should tell the other team that we just beat the hell out of you. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much we beat you by.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. We just beat the hell out of you. It's very classy.
I got to say, yeah, it is very classy.
Yeah.
Hey, Auburn. We just beat the hell out of you.
Hell out of you. Rammer, jammer, yellow hammer, give them hell, Alabama.
Very classy.
Now, I've undone all that. You saying that I'm not, that it's not Dukes of Hazzard down here.
Yeah, but the Dukes of Hazzard would not be, they would watch high school football, right?
Probably.
They'd be like.
Middle school.
Nobody
in Hazzard. There's no high school in Hazzard County.
Yes. The Dukes of Hazzard would be fixing middle school football games. Right? Or Boss Hogg would be. That guy, Boss Hogg.
He'd be pouring moonshine in the Gatorade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For which team, though?
For the other team.
For the other team. Because some team might play better on moonshine. Right. You wouldn't feel any injuries then.
That'd be the twist.
But that might not be a game with a lot of passing if moonshine's involved. Might be a day for running the ball, right?
A lot of quarterback sneaks.
Yeah. It would be the quarter. I picture the quarterback puts the football up his shirt.
He shrugs.
Yeah. And then runs and then makes like he's pregnant.
Yeah.
And then, so Jason. So,
yeah, I had a thing to try.
Yeah.
Make you laugh. You've already laughed during this call, so I maybe should just go.
You're exempt from this. You are not in competition for this because you.
Oh, okay.
You're a ringer. It would be like.
Okay.
It's like Space Jam for you. You know what I mean? You're like Michael Jordan showing up.
Well, I am gambling on this.
So you actually are betting on this call going well.
I'm betting on this. Yeah.
So what? Well, let me hear what you have to say, Jason, from Huntsville, Alabama.
I'm going to do the thing, and then here's the thing that I ask of you.
Okay.
Since you and I are friends.
It's true, we are.
I'm too bold to say that you and I are friends.
No, I'm proud that you would say that.
Yeah. So as your friend, if you don't like this, I want you to just hang up on me, and we'll never speak of it again.
You know how you know that we're actually friends? Because I would have hung up on you already for just saying that.
Right.
You would have already been hung up on for putting that in my head.
Right.
But you're, okay, go ahead. Let's hear this.
So I'm just going to do the thing, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you just hang up on me, and we never speak again.
Is it Rammer Jammer?
It's not Rammer Jammer.
What's the yellow hammer in Rammer Jammer, too?
Yeah, the yellow hammer is the state bird of Alabama, which is a yellow hammer, of which I have never seen one in my life.
The yellow hammer is the name of the bird?
The yellow hammer is the name of the bird, yeah. I've never seen one, dead or alive.
Well, goodness sake, I do believe I see a yellow hammer on that branch over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rammer jammer, yellow hammer.
And I think rammer jammer, it just rhymes with yellow hammer, and it also rhymes with Alabama.
Yeah.
If you say it with the right accent. Yeah.
And there's all the, but the thing that this isn't figuring in is that you're playing other teams from Alabama, right? Yeah.
But we're the University of Alabama, so we get to, yeah, we.
Wait, no. Every other school in Alabama also has claims on the yellow hammer as their state bird.
Yeah, but we got it first.
We got it first. Can I, and don't take this the wrong way. Did you go to that school, Jason?
I did not.
You did not.
I went to a different school.
Yeah, of course. So
I went to Troy, Troy University, the Trojans.
Okay, the Troy Trojans.
Yeah, who they don't say that, but they don't even curse at people after the game.
Uh-huh. So, wait, what are they? Are they Division II or III?
They're actually up in the big game now.
So when it's a Troy. Has Alabama played Troy?
No, I've never been.
What would happen on that day?
I would root for Alabama.
You would, right? You'd turn your back on Troy.
I would. Well, I didn't graduate.
Oh, fair enough. You didn't go there then.
No.
Well, that's how I'd be. My community college played the Knicks.
Yeah.
Right? The Middlesex Community College team played the, if they played the, they played the New York Knicks in basketball. Mm-hmm. I'd root for the Knicks.
Well, I'd hope so.
And then I'd be like, Rama, Jamma, Knickerbocker Hammer. We just beat the hell out of you. Commuter school.
We beat the hell out of you.
Yeah. All right, now let me hear this. Now I'm going to step out of your way.
All right, so I'm going to do it, and then this will be over. Okay.
Okay.
I say. Now is the winter of our discontent. Make glorious summer by the son of York. York, that's in England, son. That's in England. And all the clouds that lord upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried, now are our brows bound in victorious wreaths. That's botany, boy. That's botany.
I will speak of that again because I liked it.
Okay, good.
That was great.
All right, Rammer Jammer, Roll Tide. See you later, Tom.
Who are you playing this weekend? Who are the?
Florida for the SEC championship.
And what is the Florida team?
The Gators.
The Gators. So it'll be.
It will be. Hey, Gators.
It'll be the Gators facing off against the Blood Elephants.
The Blood Elephants. Yeah.
I love it.
Yep. All right, y'all have a good night.
You too. Bye. Good guy, right? Good guy, Mike. Huh? Best show. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. This is Chloe from Tasmania.
Chloe from Tasmania. How are you?
I'm really, really good. How are you?
I'm very good. It's good to hear from you. How are things in Tasmania tonight?
Things are great in Tasmania. It's about 2:40 in the afternoon. I'm standing in a grassy field. I'm literally standing in an empty grassy field next to a little stream with ducks on it.
Ducks? Now, these ducks are not worried about the Tasmanian devil.
They're not concerned. They don't seem overly concerned about the Tasmanian devil, no.
It's not like it. You don't have a nightshade situation down there like we have up here, where we are worried about the monsters that come out on nightshade. Look out. It's the creature from the Black Lagoon is attacking the haunted Arby's. Look out, citizens of Nightshade. Be on the run. Look out. Dracula himself is coming to town. And he's got his friend, Dudio, with him. And Dracula now drinks cat blood, thanks to Dudio. Dudio sets Jason up with cats.
Jason, get me more cats. I need more, flip more cats.
Right? Hey, I'll be back in a second, Dracula. I'm going to go outside the Holland Tunnel right now. Me and Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will get you more cats.
Look out, people of Nightshade. Dudio and Dracula are on the loose. hold your cats tight, because Dudio has got his flipping sack out.
Like, he carries, like, a sack that he flips the cats in. All right, so where were we? I forgot.
I was talking about ducks on a stream, and that was
yes,
all I could.
That's all that you got out. Okay. So
this isn't what I was calling about, though, but it does make me think like the kind of conception of Nightshade that you have. Like, you know how there are all these shows like Once Upon a Time and Grimm and some that are like. Like this is like what if all fictional characters, like all public domain fictional characters were real and they lived in the same place.
Yeah. That's what all those shows are. Right? I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't look. Again, truthfully, I have never seen, I've never heard Welcome to Nightshade. I don't know what they do on it. It might be that. It might be something completely different. I don't know. I'll never know because I don't, I got to focus on this show. It's hard enough. Hard enough doing this show, keeping this show good. I don't have time to check out Nightshade and see what they're doing. But the impression I get, to borrow a phrase from my friend Dickie Barrett, is that it's some sort of horror anthology show that takes place in a small town. And somebody said it has a haunted Arby's in it, so I guess that's... That's what that is, huh? I never knocked on wood. That's my friend Dickie Barrett wrote that song. You ever hear that song down there in Tasmania? You have the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones down there?
They've definitely come by.
They've toured Tasmania. Not to say that Tasmania shouldn't be a hot spot on any band's tour itinerary. But they've rolled through Tasmania?
I'm purely guessing there. If they did, it would have been a long time ago, but it's not unheard of for bands of the caliber of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones
would
to
roll
come through the town.
Sure. So there's ducks. Once again, you said, "Hi, this is Chloe from Tasmania. I am looking at ducks," and then we did not get much further than that. So what's going on tonight?
I was going to add, just to finish my train of thought from before. Like there are these shows like Once Upon a Time and Grimm, and I think there might be others as well. It's like the idea of it is like all of these sort of like fairy tale characters or mythological characters, like they're all real and they all live in the same place. And like, so I was trying to like, you know, work things out between like Little Red Riding Hood and Sleeping Beauty and Rumpelstiltskin and
Rumpelstiltskin. Does Rumpelstiltskin really rank with these other? What did Rumpelstiltskin do? Kept the princess in the tower? Is that what Rumpelstiltskin was?
Rumpelstiltskin was the one where like you had to trick him into saying his own name.
Yeah. Rumpelstiltskin. That's like the bastard executioner of like if Kurt Sutter is Grimm. Rumpelstiltskin would be his bastard executioner. Do you know about this show, The Bastard Executioner, Chloe? That the guy who did...
I heard that he canceled it himself.
He canceled it. And first of all, he didn't cancel it himself. They just let him say it was being canceled. So the guy who did Sons of Anarchy did his follow-up show. Is called The Bastard Executioner. And I guess it stunk up the joint. I didn't watch it. Did you watch it, Mike? How did you not watch it or I watch it? We watched so many episodes of Sons of Anarchy, we couldn't be bothered to watch that show. But then the show got the plug pulled on it, and then he announced it, and it made it sound like he was the one killing the show off. But I think he got told, hey, your show's going to be canceled, and he was just like, you guys made $900 million off of Sons of Anarchy. You got to let me say I'm the one canceling this. And they're just like, yeah, okay. So yeah, but Rumpelstiltskin is like such a lazy. Get him to say his own name. And how did they get him to say his name? The princess tricked him or something?
I don't remember that. I should definitely try and look that up in case I'm confronted with a real-life Rumpelstiltskin situation and I need to get out of it.
You want
to
know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. We're laughing about it and now. We're just laughing it up. And next thing you know, you or I, or both of us, God forbid, find ourselves in some Rumpelstiltskin situation. We'll be like, what was that with that thing? I remember talking about Rumpelstiltskin a while ago. I can't remember which one it was and that what I had to say the name or something. I'll just be like, oh, I knew this. I was so close to know. I could have gotten out of it if only I paid attention.
If only I'd paid attention in fairy tale class.
Yes, in fairy tale class, yes. Rumpelstiltskin comes to Nightshade. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, so yeah, the idea that I had was that, like, you do a show that's like the fairy tale mythical creatures show, but it's a show where, like, all the urban legends are true and, like all the kind of, the original kind of crop of urban legends from the 80s and 90s, like, they're all true, and all of the characters from them are, like, hanging out together, so it's like the woman that got the Neiman Marcus recipe by mistake.
Yeah.
That
is the greatest TV show idea. So it would be all the urban legends. So the person getting their kidneys cut out, like waking up in a tub of ice without their kidneys. Somebody waking. What are some of the other urban legends that go down? Welcome to the World of AIDS. Did you ever hear that one?
Tommy Hilfiger going on Oprah and saying that he didn't want black people to wear his clothes.
Yes, yes.
That one.
So, did you ever hear Welcome to the World of AIDS, that one?
Yes.
Where it's like, look, it's a terrible thing all around, but the idea that the person would write something so strangely like, Welcome to the World, like, Welcome to the World of AIDS. What a weird urban. It's off balance from the get go. Like, welcome to the world of AIDS. Welcome.
Oh, and the season finale, like the thing that it's all building up to, like I don't know, like there's some murders going around and like nobody knows who's doing them, and it turns out to be the guy.
Let me guess, Balloon Boy.
The guy from the In the Air Tonight urban legend.
Oh, like, yes.
The guy that drowned has come back and he's killing people.
What if we pitch this as a show? It's called Phil Collins Urban Legend. Phil Collins, Urban Legend Detective, right? And it's Phil Collins going around solving these urban legends. Why? Because he never caught the In the Air Tonight killer. And it has haunted. That's the case that got away from him. And it haunts him to this day. Like, yeah, that's the one you didn't bring down, Phil, did you? Right? So he's just haunted by the urban legend of he wrote a song about it, but couldn't catch the person.
And he even invited the guy to his concert and picked out a seat for him.
Yeah.
And shone a spotlight on him while he sang In the Air Tonight. So the guy still got away.
Well, that to me is who takes a black eye on that one is Phil Collins' security team, right? Like, the security team for whatever arena or his private security team, they're the ones who take that one on the nose, that Phil Collins, that they couldn't catch the guy. He set the ultimate trap, brings the guy to the show, knows clearly gave him the tickets, knew what seat he would be in, right? And then they still couldn't get the guy. If I was Phil Collins, I'd be haunted by that too. I'd be out solving urban legends because he's trying to do for others what he could not, that he witnessed and could not stop. And also, why didn't Phil Collins just contact the police rather than contact the guy and say, hey, come to the show? He clearly had enough info on the guy that he could have handed over to the police and said, hey, that strangler that I saw, I can tell you where he is. Either you guys can go get him, you can go get him, or I have an idea. I'll invite him to my concert, and I'll sing this song about him, and then you guys can get him. All right, Chloe, I'm going to say goodnight. You sound like you're in a wind tunnel somewhere. Sounds like you got. Flying around you now, creating some sort of vortex.
They're looking quite calm, but they're still quite dangerous. So right. I better get off.
Well, you have a great night. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, great to see you too. Right.
Bye bye. Oh, guys. Yeah, this Google thing, man. They rip me off. Straight up rip me off. And I know some people think it's like, ooh, Tom's got another, isn't it funny? He's mad again. Right, Mike? The way they get joy, you'd think my anger was like mother's milk for some of these people. Right? It's like I'm nourishing them. Listen to how frustrated he sounds. You monsters. You monsters. I'm looking at Twitter. It is so funny when you see someone tweet something like, great. Now I'm going to be up all night looking up Welcome to the World of AIDS, which is one of the worst, like, because someone has to come up with, I guess it came from, I'm assuming, and look, I'm not Snopes.com up in here. I'm just assuming it was like a kind of a story meant to scare people, like a cautionary tale that is apocryphal. Probably based off something, a fraction of that probably happened, and somebody spun it into a different story. Not unlike Rumpelstiltskin would spin a story, make you spin hay into gold or whatever he did. I don't know. But this dirty grandpa, my friends, Robert De Niro has a movie coming out this January called Dirty Grandpa. Let's play some of the trailer. I gotta play. Look, and I'm not doing this. This is not a Hollywood handbook, where they play trailers. We've done this before. They don't have a market cornered on playing trailers. Dirty Grandpa. I just want you to hear a little bit of this.
Don't understand why you have to drive down to Florida. We just had the funeral.
Your grandmother and I were there at this time every year.
So his wife died. Dirty Grandpa's wife died. And I'm assuming they don't call him Dirty Grandpa. Like, that's like, he's not dirty. Like, he's not covered in dirt. Like, he's like a pervert. And what, there was Bad Grandpa already. They already did that. They Johnny Knoxville did Bad Grandpa. So now they're doing Dirty Grandpa.
Seems like we're cutting it a little close with the rehearsal brunch on Friday.
I'm just freaking out.
I know.
And you gotta see, cause it's Zac Efron, and then his wife is the most shrill woman. Just another fantastic subtle portrait of women in a movie. Just uptight monsters who just, these guys are just trapped by these the world's worst women.
Can you take my car, Sadie? I need the SUV for the wine.
And she says, can you take my car to go take Dirty Grandpa down to Florida or wherever they're going? And her car is a pink Mini Coupe. So now it's going to be Zac Efron and Dirty Grandpa riding around in a, What is wrong with Robert De Niro? Can I just say that? Did he lose? Did he bet like $300 million on the Super Bowl or something? Like, it almost seems like he, like that Seahawks Patriots Super Bowl. Not even that. He's done this for years now. What Super Bowl would that have been that he could have lost his shirt on to where he's, and he loses his shirt in the trailer for this, by the way. If you've ever wanted to see him with no shirt on, well, Dirty Grandpa's the movie for you. If you ever want to see Robert De Niro take his shirt off in a beefcake contest, well, I got good news for you. I got good news and bad news. The good news is Dirty Grandpa has been made. The bad news is you got to wait till January. And January is always a great time for movies to come out. It's always all the good ones come, I guess. Well, I guess they'll probably show this in New York and Los Angeles, so it's eligible for Oscar season, like award season. Because they wouldn't want to miss out on that. And the award for Best Actor goes to Robert De Niro, Dirty Grandpa. Robert De Niro cannot be here to accept. Accepting for Robert De Niro tonight is Dirty Grandpa. Like he comes up in character as Dirty Grandpa to accept the award. This is one of those movies where it seems like he'll show up at like a football game as Dirty Grandpa, like in the booth to like hype Dirty Grandpa as the way when Borat went all over the place. As Borat, what if De Niro just started going on like promotional things? He's on like Opie and Anthony as Dirty Grandpa. Yeah, we got Dirty Grandpa in the studio. What up, Dirty Grandpa? And then somebody finally like says to him, it's like, hey, are you all right? Because you used to like do like a movie every year and a half. Now you're doing them like you're worried about money or something. Yeah, like he was, like it was a football game. He's like, yeah, I'm all in. What do you mean all in? Everything I own. Literally everything. You want to bet everything, huh? Huh, Bob, Bobby? Yeah, bet it all. And then you fast forward. You see him watching the game. Be like the bet on that Giants Patriots game. He sees David Tyree hold the football to his helmet. No, no. That still is one of the funniest football games in history. The idea that these Patriots fans. And the Patriots, this is something I'll say to Patriots fans. The New England Patriots, you got your football team. All these New England people, all they do is moan about the Yankees up there. Right? Right, Mike? Yeah. But guess what? You have your Yankees now. The Patriots are the Yankees. The rest of the country hates them. Just like everybody hates the Yankees. It's a organization where one person is sleazier than the next. Just like the Yankees that you hated all those years. You've got your Yankees now. You became the thing you didn't want to be. It's a Munich situation. It's like Munich all over again. Right, Mike? Yeah. Munich! That's what I watched this week. I watched Munich. This is my viewing schedule. Get ready, Mike. This is what I watch this week in this order. Munich. It's a mad, 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 mad world. It's a mad, 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 mad world extended cut. That's what I watched this week. What were you saying about Munich? I've seen it once. I watched it this week. Well, if I talked about it before, I didn't know what I was talking about. I never saw it. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Munich, though. Some good shootout scenes in that thing. I tell you, they put Spielberg down, man. That dude can direct anything. Got a good shootout scene, got buildings, got blow-up scenes, right? Munich!
If the movie you've selected is Dirty Grandpa, press 1 now. If the movie you've selected is Munich, press 2 now. If the movie you've selected is It's a Mad, 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 Mad World Extended Cut, press 3 now.
So, yeah, with this Dirty Grandpa.
Now let's get in that giant Libya you drove up in and get out of here.
So they're driving and then Dirty Grandpa is... got a flask in the car.
Hey, we're heading to Daytona. So you guys want to tag along for a bit, maybe? Party some babies into us?
Party some babies into us. Wait, is that a... is that the thing everyone wants is to... whatever.
We're not going to Daytona. Bap, are you kidding me right now? Grandma's funeral was yesterday.
She told me on her deathbed, you get back out there again.
Hey, Grandpa.
Did he just call you Grandpa?
What the?
Want to be a lamb and get that for me?
Did you ever go on spring break?
No.
And they go to spring break. So Zac Efron takes Dirty Grandpa to spring break. And I like how the conceit of this movie is that all these women and young women and young men are walking around in like next to nothing and nobody is saying anything about this 72-year-old who's hanging with Zac Efron, who's too old for these kids. He's too old to be hanging out with them. They would be like, hey, what are you, like 26? Get away from us, weirdo. Let alone, why is a 72-year-old with us? I'm going to start dressing like Dirty Grandpa. Get the hat, the shades, the shirt.
Hey, you know, 1 in 3 of these girls has herpes, even if you can't see it.
Whoops. I've never used it.
All right, I can't do this. This is Dirty Grandpa squirts suntan lotion on Aubrey Plaza. And then she makes a dirty joke.
You're in Daytona Beach?
We're just driving through.
Jason!
She's not right.
And that's Dirty Grandpa's grandson's, shrew of a fiance. So he's a fiance too. She's losing it that he's got Dirty Grandpa down in spring break. If this is the rate Robert De Niro's at, 2 years from now, he will be at spring break for hire as Dirty Grandpa. You can get him to party back in your hotel room. $700 to party in your motel room with Dirty Grandpa. Best Show, you're on the air.
Yeah, Tom, it's Drennan from Brooklyn.
Drennan from Brooklyn, what do you got, buddy? You going to make me laugh?
I'm going to try. I had a story I thought you might like.
Okay, you can begin in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, so when I was living in Chicago, my car was impounded. The tough streets of Chicago, you don't have to blink your eye to get your car impounded. And I went to the DMV to get it out, and the guy in front of me was, like, leaning on the counter, and I could just overhear him, but he sounded like Dan Aykroyd doing a Mickey Mouse impression.
And how did that sound?
It was kind of like he was saying, like, well, you know, if I seen the sign, you know, I wouldn't have parked the car there. And I didn't see the sign, you know, so I don't go into the city. And he was kind of muttering to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was making a case for himself.
All right. Who's on the magic line, Mike? The third Southern gentleman. Best show, you're on the air.
Tom.
Yes. Tom? Yes.
I heard the father and the son checked in, so I figured God. It was time for the unholy ghost.
There we go. This is Dave from Knoxville.
It is. How are you?
I'm good. Now, for people who don't know, Dave from Knoxville is a regular caller for years on the show. Now, he's not like these other guys. He's not like Fredericks, who is a maniac. He's not like Jason, who is a befuddled a football maniac. This is Dave from Knoxville. Oh. He's like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
He focuses on numbers and science, right?
Yeah,
Dave
sure.
is smart. Where your intelligence stops, that's where Dave starts.
You've met me. You know none of this is true. Hey, I almost didn't call because I don't know how to make you laugh. Good Lord. But I have two quick questions for you.
Yes.
You're a big NBA fan.
I am.
To the extent that you are familiar with most of their logos.
Yes.
Portland Trail Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that logo still in 1978? Is that the worst logo in any sport except maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Oh, Dave. Oh, Dave, how can you say this? You mean their current logo, 2015?
Yeah.
I think, let me look at their logo right now. Yeah, I like their logo. I've always liked their logo.
With a reading rainbow kind of look?
Yeah, it's nice. It's classic.
All right, here's one other question for you.
Well, give me another team with a bad logo.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Dave, when the Orlando Magic is still, as long as that's still a team that plays games, for you to talk about any bad logo, the Cavs, like with the new Cavs, I think I like the way the Cavs do their uniforms now. I mean, we're not talking about the Cavs of, I just hit the wrong thing in the, well, look, the one with the sword, yeah, it's not so hot. I don't like that one so much. I do like their I don't like their logo, but I like their uniforms, the way it says Cavs on it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I have spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks trying to update my NBA rankings, and every time I pull a Portland score, I see that logo, and I wake up 2 or 3 minutes later. It's like, I don't know what's happened. It gets in my field of vision, and I'm out like a light.
Well, Dave, I'm sorry that you're being lulled. You might want, if you're being lulled into sleep by a logo, that might be a matter between you and your doctor. that I don't think you can pin on the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, I've got a bank of doctors I'm juggling, so I'll ask one next time I see him.
You doing all right? Are you hanging in there, buddy?
I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I do wonder, I know you have a lot of showbiz connections.
I do.
I do wonder about George Foreman. What is it about his lifestyle that's attracting all these inventors to ask his advice for what to do with their inventions? Have you seen that commercial?
Which one? What? I know he's got that grill.
No, it's a, hi, I'm George Foreman. All the time, people come to me with their ideas and inventions.
Yes, because now he does the thing about, registering your invention or something? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a pretty diverse group of friends, mm-hmm. but not one has ever asked me for advice on an invention. So what is it about George Foreman that's attracting all these inventors?
Well, I'd almost be tempted to say that he's reading the piece of paper they paid him to read and that he couldn't care less what's on it, and that his price is probably not so high that they could, that they could get him to do it.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that's not a reflection of his real life, you know?
No, I don't think he's in the lab with his pals trying to refine their inventions.
So this is a Joe Namath pantyhose kind of situation.
I think we're in it's a clear Joe Namath pantyhose situation, Dave. Yes. See, look, you made me laugh. Mm-hmm. You made me laugh. You're funny. Stop beating up on yourself.
If I only call twice a year, I can sneak in a laugh.
Oh, so, stop. Stop with the modesty routine.
It's not modesty. I'm an old man, and I wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
You wake up at 5:30? That's when I go to bed, man.
Yeah, I know. Don't you think I'm probably near the top end of age for listeners and callers to this show?
No, I don't. I meet some of these people. I thought we're going to have to start doing an early bird show in some of these cities. No, it actually, I'll say this. It's a good, I'm very heartened by the range of people age-wise that come out. It's, it really is so exciting to see white dudes of all ages, showing up to support the show. There's a young white dude. Well. There's an old white dude. Look, I'll take
sure
it.
There's some
the door's open for anyone to come and buy a ticket.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start turning white dudes away. I want everybody out there. But look, this thing's sinking. Sinking. We're heading toward, this is like Enron territory.
Oh, come on.
You know. It's like Enron without the fraud. That's the worst part about it. We didn't even rip anyone off. Willie Loman. I feel like Willie Loman here, right? And how on the nose is that his name is Loman, right? Whoever wrote that should be ashamed of themselves. Get it? His name's Willie Loman. Who wrote that? The guy who wrote Dirty Grandpa? Probably, right?
Oh, have you picked up any of the Jessica Jones thing? There's kind of a running joke about the villain named Kilgrave.
I want to watch Jessica Jones. What's her name? I like the character Jessica Jones, and then I like Kristen Ritter. I think she's entertaining.
And Tennant's very good.
Tennant. Neil Tennant from the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
It's on Jessica Jones?
Yes, he's one of the West End boys.
Well, what's Chris Lowe doing?
I think he is working at Lowe's.
Hey, all right. Now you're pushing it. Your Southern kindness. All right, Dave. I'm going to let you go to. You're way past your bedtime now. I think you're talking in your sleep.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Of course. Look, you have great holidays to you and great health, and you take care of yourself, buddy. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Who's good here, Mike? Three. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Grant from Pittsburgh.
Grant? Okay, what do you got, Grant?
I'm a first-time caller. I've been a long-time listener.
Very good, very good. Well, what can I do for you tonight, Chief? You going to make me laugh?
Well, you were talking about bad sports logos just now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring up the Florida Marlins logo.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst logo in sports.
That's a pretty good one. Are they the Florida Marlins or are they the Florida – are they Miami Marlins? What are they now?
Yeah, you're right. Miami Marlins,
yeah. It looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like a sign for a men's room at a Miami airport. Right?
Right.
It's like that's what the logo would look like at the Miami airport for the men's room.
Right.
Good call, buddy. I appreciate it. So anyway, with this Dirty Grandpa, Mike, are you going to see Dirty Grandpa? Mike has to see it. Hold on. Let's hear more of this.
You're going to be sleepwalking through the rest of your life.
The way I see it.
He's giving his grandson advice to dump this uptight broad.
She's not right for you. If you marry her, you're going to be sleepwalking through the rest of your life.
The way I see it, this is our last stand.
The way I see it, this is our last stand. Your grandson is 26. And there's the slow motion footage of the two of them walking into a party. And also, what part? How is this like? When these scripts come through for Robert De Niro, I mean, do they just have like dollar amounts and then he just says yes and then they reveal the script to him later? Robert, his agent calls. Okay, what do we got? All right, we got one for $8.5 million. We got a $7.8 million and one that's only $1.1 million. I think I'll do the $8.5 million one. Well, okay, you're gonna do it. It's called Dirty Grandpa, and it's him at a party, and all these 18 and 19 year olds are hanging out with him. It's just like you couldn't pay these kids to hang out with their actual grandparents, but they're hanging out. But you know what their grandparents are doing all wrong? They're not crashing spring break. I would like this movie if they just called it Spring Breakers 2. Port of call, Dirty Grandpa. Yeah, what if Dirty Grandpa went up against James Franco from Spring Breakers?
Get pregnant!
Dirty Grandpa just shot a t-shirt cannon at a guy during some beefcake strip-a-thon and knocked him out.
This is crack.
And now, Zac Efron smoked crack, I guess.
Crack?
Yeah, but just like a lot.
I just smoked crack!
I don't even know how much I appreciate you.
Oh, God. Dirty. Can you imagine? The writer signed on to do Bad Santa. I thought you said the writer's on the line. I got a knot in my stomach. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to get yelled at by the guy who wrote Dirty Grandpa. Hey, it's a good movie. Bad Santa 2. So I hope they end up doing a few years from now when the franchises need to converge, obviously. You get the way Batman versus Superman, Bad Santa versus Dirty Grandpa. But then you get Bad Grandpa, right? Bad Grandpa would join up with Bad Santa to fight Dirty Grandpa. Then I guess Dirty Grandpa would have to get, who would he get to help him? Who would help Dirty Grandpa win the fight? He'd probably get, the guy from, Meet the Parents. Right? I'm watching you. I'm watching you. Yeah. That's something that people are not going to be saying about Dirty Grandpa. I'm watching you. That is something. The only way Robert De Niro will hear that is if somebody's playing Meet the Parents on their laptop during a screening of Dirty Grandpa. I'm watching you. Three years from now, you seriously will be able to hire De Niro to play Dirty Grandpa in your... Oh, Bad Teacher. That's right. Nicholas Gazin, who I think is one of the coolest dudes going. He said Bad Teacher. Bad Teacher would team up. So it would be Dirty Grandpa and Bad Teacher against Bad Santa and Bad Grandpa. Right? So who'd win that fight? Mike, help me with the math on this. Right? Dirty Grandpa teams up with Bad Teacher to fight Bad Grandpa and Bad Santa. I think that's good. I think his Bad Teacher had some pretty, she had some tricky ways about her. She would frame people. Remember she framed that one teacher? Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, I just got one question for you, my man. Have you...
Best Show, you're on the air, my man. Guy called me my man. Instant. Go ahead, Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Nicholas Gazin, you ever see his art?
Me?
Yeah, you. It's really
good. No, I have not.
He's very talented. His sister is very talented, too. It's a very talented family. I can only imagine what it would be like to come from a talented family like that. Mm. I can only imagine. It's like they're like the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, wow.
Neil just tweeted, De Niro was probably this close to attending barred masses. That'd be something else. Sundays, it's AP Mike and then Dirty Grandpa comes in, right? De Niro comes in his Dirty Grandpa getup. Dirty Grandpa. Well, I'm talking about bump, bump, Dirty Grandpa. Maybe I got to do a record like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, a Dirty Grandpa and I got to get a ba-do-do-do, right? To the tune of Second Cousin by... The Flamin' Groovies, one of the all-time creepiest songs. You ever hear that song? Well, she's my second cousin, but I'm going to make her my first wife. It's like, okay, I'm going to not ever talk to you again. What do you got for me, Chief?
Well, first off, this is Aaron from Trenton, New Jersey.
Aaron from Trenton.
That's correct, yes.
What's on your mind, Aaron?
So I have a story that involves Trenton and the NBA.
Let's hear it.
All right. So it was October of 2001. Me, my brother, and my dad went to go see a preseason game at the Trenton minor league team arena, and we saw the Sixers play the Utah Jazz. And
so a preseason game in Trenton.
Yes.
The capital of New Jersey for people who don't know. Trenton makes, the world takes, is a sign. Do you like that? I like that sign there's a sign on a bridge that lights up every night that says Trenton makes, the world takes. I love it. I love passing
this
by that.
True. I've often thought that it's Tom makes, the world takes. Right?
No, it should be Tom makes, Google takes. Right?
Yes.
That's pretty much the saying that would be on my bridge. Tom makes, Google takes.
Yeah. I like that bridge.
Go ahead. What do you got, Chief?
Okay, so we're at this game, Sixers versus Jazz preseason game.
What year are we talking about here?
This is 2001, October of.
Okay.
So we happen to be sitting courtside, and we're sitting right next to the Utah Jazz bench. And probably like a few weeks before, I don't know if you remember this, there was an anthrax scare in Hamilton, New Jersey, which is, you know, basically Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting there, and the player Greg Ostertag sits right next to us.
Yeah.
Like the bench ends, he's the person right next to us. And he starts striking up conversation with us. He's like, "You guys from around here?" We're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, you had that anthrax thing recently." We're like, "Yeah." And then he said, "Yeah, you know, I mean, if you got mail with anthrax on it, you could just put it in your microwave."
So you're getting anthrax prevention advice from Greg Ostertag, NBA center Greg Ostertag, during the post 9/11 era.
That is correct.
I got to say, Aaron, you made me laugh. You very well might be winning the fun pack. But I got to ask you this. You're in Trenton. Sure. Trenton is not far from Philadelphia. It's where the 76ers chose to play one of their preseason games, obviously.
Right.
Will and Aaron from Trenton on December will be attending December 13th's Sharpling and Worcester show in Philadelphia.
I'll be there, and I'll be bringing people, and we couldn't be more excited.
I love it. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. It really is going to be a special show. We're going to go try to go above and beyond with it. So if you've seen the shows before, this one should be fun in a new way. So
I can't wait.
Thanks, buddy. You have a great night. Dirty Grandpa. I wonder if like you'll be at, like a Comic-Con and Dirty Grandpa, like people are dressed like Dirty Grandpa walking the floor. Because Dirty Grandpa's look, for if you don't know, he's wearing like a hat and shades and a shirt, which I know doesn't sound very distinctive, but when you see how Dirty Grandpa wears it, you'll get it. What do you think, Mike? Dirty Grandpa? You think this is going to stick? Maybe I'm all wrong. What if a year from now I look back and I'm like ranking the De Niro performances and I'm like, all right, top three, number three, Godfather 2, number two. Wait, I'll be like, wait, God, is it Raging Bull or Dirty Grandpa? Which is his number one? Which is number one? What if it's good? I don't know. What if Dirty... Everybody, welcome to Nightshade. Here in Nightshade, Pennsylvania, look out, people on the streets. Dirty Grandpa has come to town. And he's walking around with his new friend, Dudio. They're stealing your cats. Dudio brings the cats back to his master, Dracula, in the castle, high over Nightshade. And Dirty Grandpa, what's he up to? Why, he's going into the haunted Arby's to get the senior citizens discount on a small coffee, and he's going to read the newspaper for 2 hours at Arby's, nursing his senior citizens coffee. At the haunted Arby's. Look out, people of Nightshade. Dirty Grandpa's on the loose. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex.
Oh, my God. Now, for people who don't know, this is a new call. This guy's like a new classic caller. You've heard some of the old standbys tonight. Your Fredericks from Newport Richie, your Jason from Huntsville, your Dave from Knoxville's. Now this is a guy who's like, and those guys are like, they're like Citizen Kane and other classic movies that I don't like. But this young whippersnapper right now, he's like the Shawshank Redemption. He's a new classic. He's a new addition to the canon.
His name Shawshank is very high on the IMDb rating board. Yeah,
his name is, and this I'm not sure if this is his birth name. Your name is your birth name is Alex, not Toronto's Sex Dwarf Alex. That was given to you by someone.
Yes, my birth name is actually Alexander, but
Alexander.
Yeah.
Now, do you think when you were given the name Alexander, your parents ever said, did they try on Toronto's Sex Dwarf in front of different names to see which one sounded right? Toronto's Sex Dwarf Colin.
I mean, it was the 80s, so it's possible it was on their minds.
Anything happened in the 80s, and probably did, right?
Exactly.
So, I saw you at we did the Toronto show. That was a fun show, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Did you have a great time?
I think I laughed continuously for almost 2 hours.
Oh, it was so much fun. And did you see when Damien picked me up and spun me around? Wasn't that crazy?
I was really afraid he was going to accidentally drop you in the audience, for real.
Me too. But he knows what he's doing. He's not messing around.
I should have had faith in Damien. He knows
what he's doing. Yeah. How about when Gary the Squirrel interviewed him? Wasn't that funny?
That was pretty good. Gary's a great stage performer.
He's very dynamic. So what's going on tonight, Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex?
Well, I've been enjoying the show so far, but
so far. Well, jeepers. So are we walking the tightrope here?
No.
Is this Gladiator? You're going to give a thumbs up or thumbs down?
No, not at all. I'm more afraid that I'm going to be the start of the decline.
Don't worry. What's up? So you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, so I actually have, so on Monday, I'm going to try for the topic. So on Monday, I came into work. I was still feeling that best show high, feeling great, had a good weekend, you know, thinking about all the funny stuff from the show. And I sat down at my desk, and about maybe 40 minutes into my work day, my coworker sends me an email, and once in a while he sends me emails of things that he thinks are funny, which are mostly clips of Family Guy and occasionally South Park.
Okay.
That kind of stuff's not my speed, but you know, I play along. Sure, he's a nice guy. Sure. I'll be like, haha, that's funny, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And he writes, I've already made your week. This is the funniest thing you'll see all week. Mm-hmm. And I open it up, and the link is to a clip from The Impractical Jokers.
Okay. And what clip was it?
It was just a clip of them doing some terrible prank at a guy's wedding where they were doing, like, they got one of the Impractical Jokers to be a fake best man that somehow nobody would have recognized at the wedding. But then he went up and gave, like, a rambling, incoherent, offensive speech that they thought was the funniest thing. But I just thought it was pretty perfect that there I was thinking about the best show, and the Impractical Jokers appear before me.
And look, I watch Impractical Jokers. I think it's funny. I like it. I know there's some people who are torn. They look at this as some sort of civil war that they... Mike tells me stories of people like, I love the best show and I love Impractical Jokers. Why? Why? It's like, I like
it. Turning brother against brother.
I like it. Yes, brother against brother. Toronto's Sex Dwarf Alex. Just like the Civil War songs that the band from your country, The Band, documented. They're proud. They're proud documenting of another country's heritage. Very strange, Very strange.
Sometimes when your own source material is pretty weak, you gotta play another role.
What? You could do a song about that fire in Quebec City. Wasn't that a thing?
Fire in Quebec City. How about the fire where we burned down the White House?
Yeah, how about that one? I don't know that one. Tell me that one.
During the War of 1812, the Canadian forces, which were at the time actually British, so it's a lame story for Canadians to be proud of, but well, the British forces in Canada were fighting against the Americans, they went down and burned the White House because everybody ran away because they were afraid of the Canadians.
I love it. I love it. That's what they should be singing about. That's what Robbie Robertson should have been singing about.
No, actually, I just remembered a detail. I don't know if this is true. Somebody will maybe correct me on Twitter, but supposedly everyone evacuated the White House and the Canadian, I'm using air quotes, Canadian troops arrived and they had been preparing dinner and they sat down and ate the dinner at the White House first and then they burned it down.
Wait, say that again?
Supposedly while the Americans were preparing dinner, they found out that Canadian troops had landed near the White House, and so they evacuated all the chiefs of staff or executives or whatever have you, you know, at that time, whatever they had. I don't know the correct terminology, but and then as they evacuated and the Canadians showed up and realized everyone had gone, but dinner was ready. So they ate the dinner and then they burned down the White House.
Wow. That's cold. Right?
Cold hearts from a cold country.
Look, I love Canada. I would move to Toronto in a heartbeat. I love it there. I love it.
Did you have a chance to do anything fun while you were in Toronto?
No, I was there for work, Chief. Rolled in, did the show, hung out for about an hour and a half afterwards, and then went to sleep, got up, flew back to Boston.
Yeah, after the show, you just hung out with some of your local pals?
I did, yeah. Look, admittedly, I did a quick song and karaoke. I was not planning on it.
Uh-huh.
But I got up and did. Well, I wish I could have done a full night of karaoke like you invited me to, but I couldn't.
I wasn't begging for anything.
Yeah, you were. That's how you sex dwarves are. Toronto's sex dwarf, Alex. I got it. You don't think I saw that one coming? You do anything else while you were in town? Anything fun, perhaps? It was not my plan. I went to get a piece of pizza pie.
Oh, you went to Batondo's.
What were you watching me?
No, I know. Okay, so somebody sent me a video of you performing at the Monarch Tavern, which is where you went to.
You, Toronto Seg, you're losing all the clout I was giving you. You're losing it all. You got secret videos of me going. I don't even know what the name of the pizza parlor was. But
did you like it, though? Because that's one of the best pizza places.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. But you know what? Where I come from, Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex, the pizza is so consistently good here. You don't even have to think of like.
Where's the good place?
Yeah. You don't even think where the good, you just assume every place is good around here. Isn't that right, Mike?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny the mentality with that. Dudio? Like, we don't even think like, you once in a while go like, yeah, that place sucks. Don't go in there. But even that place would be all right. Even like a really bad pizza place would still be like passable here.
Uh-huh.
But like there.
We got to work for it.
You guys are like, oh, let's go to this pizza place. It's good. They don't put, what are you worried they're going to put on it? The cheddar cheese or something?
No, in my opinion, the problem here is everybody tries to make pizza too complicated.
Too many toppings, right?
Too many toppings, too many different kinds of slice, and they can't even make a decent pepperoni slice.
Yeah, yeah.
Or veggie slice, as you may have it.
Because you like to have a nice, you like your pizza simple when you're skulking around stalking people, right? You don't have time for all those toppings if you're going to go around hiding in the shrubs watching the guy who just did the show you saw and keeping tabs on what he's up to all night.
I didn't set out to do that. It just you know.
It just happened. Yeah. No, I'm teasing you, buddy.
No,
you're all right. You're all right in my opinion. All right. I think we're done here.
I just wanted to say before you let me go, thanks again for a great show in Toronto.
Well, thank you. And how do you sign off?
I'm going to say that's all for now. This is Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex signing off.
Very good. Talk to you soon. Nice young guy, right, Mike? Mike didn't care. Nice guy, right, Mike? Yeah. What do you think of Neil deGrasse Tyson, Mike? Yeah, that was boring, right? Well, Carl Sagan had the same thing. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Jacob in Philadelphia.
Jacob in Philadelphia. Oh, I know this guy. Do I? We talked, right?
Yes, I met you at the Destroyer Show at Underground Arts in October.
That's right, at the Destroyer Show.
Great show, right?
It was a great show. And you do a podcast, right?
I do a podcast.
I'll do your podcast.
You will do my podcast?
I will. I would love to
do your
podcast.
That makes me so happy to hear it, Tom.
What is the name of it again?
It's called Based on Nothing.
based on nothing. How do we do this? Do I have to come there, or can I call you?
We can do it over Skype. Does that work for you?
Yeah, let's do it over Skype.
Cool. I'm coming to your show, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, but I'm going to tell you this. I will do your thing only if this call goes amazing.
Oh, sure. I'm on trial now. I'm down with it.
I will do your podcast. Proudly, I'll do it. Only if you get through this corn maze without tripping.
All right, I think I can do it. I got two things to try to make you laugh real quick.
Two. Wow. Oh, so you're that confident, eh?
Not confident. No, I'm pretty terrified, but okay. I've been thinking about it.
Okay. So you're doubling back on your thing. Okay. You have two, sure. But you're not confident in either of them. Interesting. You're willing to take up twice as much airtime, but you don't believe in either thing past the point where you would say they're any better than terrible. Go ahead. Let's hear what you got.
All right. The first one, I live in Fishtown, Philadelphia. I know you're a big Kurt Vile fan. Mm-hmm. Do you know the Kurt Vile mural on Front Street?
The one from the album cover.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I do. Yes.
Do you know about the story when last summer a local DJ painted over it because he thought it was...
Oh, I know that whole story, yes.
Everybody got really upset, including me.
Yeah.
I was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's all rebuffed now. It's all fine. But that guy, I have the Pitchfork article open right now, mm-hmm. and this guy said that this was the worst mistake he'd ever made. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty funny.
What's the other one you got?
The other one, I wanted to ask you if you know...
Dudio, you want to do this guy's podcast in my place? I think you might have been downgraded past me being on it, past Mike being on it. Now you're on thin ice with Dudio.
I'll take Dudio.
You're going to turn around and you're going to end up with Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex on your podcast.
We could get a good show out of that. Obviously, I'd rather have you. But
let's hear the. What's the second thing you got, Jacob? Jason's out. You just lost Dudio. Go ahead.
Do you know what Ultimate Dodgeball is, Tom?
Do I know what Ultimate Dodgeball is?
Yeah.
You mean the thing where it's like the movie?
No. Not the movie. This is a real, like, I guess, up-and-coming sport. Where people jump around trampolines and throw dodgeballs at each other.
It's like slam ball.
Well, maybe it is like slam ball. I'm not sure.
You ever watch slam ball?
I haven't.
It's coming back. I have a good feeling about it. I think slam ball. I have a lot of shirts for sale. A lot of slam ball merch.
As soon as DraftKings picks up slam ball, it'll be good to go. Everybody will know about it.
Okay. Made me... It's a little hurtful. Go ahead.
There's a documentary series on YouTube of Ultimate Dodgeball games. And all the teams are characters, and they're all doing flips and jumping around on trampolines. It's my new favorite sport.
I am going to take your word for it. That's the good here.
Okay.
The bad is... I will not do your podcast. No, of course I'll do your podcast. I'll do your podcast. We'll figure it out. I saw you emailed me. I'll email you back.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, buddy. Have a good night. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this?
This is Laura in Toronto.
Laura in Toronto. How are you, Laura?
I'm well, thanks.
I think I know who this Laura is. I think I saw you on Twitter saying you were at the show.
I was right in the front. Mm. Great.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. I had a fantastic time. I'm sorry I couldn't say hi after. God. It was, yep, surpassed my already very high expectations.
Oh, that's sweet of you to say.
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to try to make you laugh by telling you the worst way that somebody's ever tried to pick me up.
Okay.
If you're into that. I'm ready. Okay, so I was at a bar with some lady friends, not interested in talking to any men, but this one dude kind of starts lurking around our perimeter, and he's trying to talk to me, and he's not trying to join the conversation. You know, there's a difference where you can tell he was just trying to remove me from the situation and get me isolated. He keeps trying to jump in. I'm not really into it. And at one point, I'm talking to my friends about doing stand-up, and he latches onto that, and he interrupts to tell me, oh, Rob Schneider is a buddy of mine.
That was
his big move to pick me up. Rob Schneider is a buddy of mine.
So he's trying to blow you away by saying, oh, yeah, Rob Schneider's a buddy of mine.
Yeah. It didn't work. and then when I was not
impressed
with that.
Wait, it didn't work?
It didn't work.
I thought you were going to say you were married now.
Yeah, I was hoping you could give a speech at the anniversary party. This happened 10 years ago, yeah.
That Rob Schneider would be there doing one of his racist characters, marrying the two of you, maybe.
Yeah.
His subtle portrayals of Asians in the past have been very, very nuanced.
Nuanced is exactly what I was going to say.
The Mickey Rooney school with Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's how somebody tried to pick me up. Rob Schneider's a buddy of mine.
Laura.
Fun. But then when I didn't respond to that, he told me a story about how he met Louis C.K. And asked to take a picture with him, and Louis said no, but was really nice about it.
Well, that's the most depressing thing. So he couldn't get a picture with Louis.
Yeah.
But then he's bragging about how he got let down gently.
Yep.
Oh, boy. It's a rough world out there sometimes. Right?
Yep.
It's a rough world. Laura, thank you for calling.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. And Mike, I'm excited to tell you that a little shift has happened, and I don't want people to make me laugh anymore. I want people to tell me what their ideas for hashtag superheroes is. That's right, it's At Best Show. Let's do it. Hashtag superhero comedians. Let's get it. All right, you're on At Best Show. What do you got for me?
Hey, Tom, this is Martin in Nebraska.
Martin in Nebraska, hashtag superhero comedians. What do you got?
Superhero comedians?
Yeah, give me one.
Oh, God, I wasn't ready for that.
I know you weren't.
Robin Williams, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Pretty good, off the top of your head. Actually sucked, but we'll take it. At Best Show, what do you got?
Sorry, Tom, this is Z-Man. I've been on hold for a while. I missed with the...
Hold on. We've got Z-Man. I'm going to pop this down. We got the Z-Man on At Best Show.
What's the hashtag? I missed it.
Hashtag superhero comedians.
Oh, man. Jason Wolverine.
Jason Wolverine. I got to say... Z-Man, you brought it. What else you got going on, Chief?
I don't want to keep you from At Best Show, but I called for something else. But if you want to do At Best Show, I understand.
What's next? You're going to go to another horror movie with your six-month-old? I'm still upset about that one, but I refuse to pursue that.
She didn't see the movie.
Yeah, she didn't see the movie. She just saw the maniacs that would go to the movie. She was just surrounded by the maniacs who would go see a revival of the Warriors.
Well, I inadvertently made you laugh, so that's something.
You, Z-Man, you might have won the contest. Oh, God, if I got to send you a prize pack? Oh, no.
Send it to somebody else.
No, you're being generous now, too. Thanks for being on At Best Show. At Best Show, what do you got?
Captain Caveman, see ya.
Captain Caveman, see ya. Good one. At Best Show, what do you got? Superhero comedians.
Earl Sweatshirt.
What?
Earl Sweatshirt.
Earl Sweatshirt. I don't get it.
Odd Future.
Yeah, no, I know what Odd Future is, stupid. How's that a superhero? Or a comedian? At Best Show, what do you got?
At Best Show, what do you got? I have a pretty good make Tom laugh story if you can fit one more in.
Nope. At Best Show, what do you got?
Jay Morshock. Like Rorschach. Watchmen.
Love it. At Best Show, what do you got, superhero comedians?
Lenny Bruce Wayne.
Lenny Bruce Wayne, good one. At Best Show, what do you got?
Mary Hula Hampman.
Say it again.
Mary Hula Hampman.
Mary Hula Hampman. Good one. At Best Show, 201-332-3484. The hashtag is superhero comedians. Let's hear yours. Looking over at Twitter. Larry Human Storch. That's a pretty good one. I know that guy. Am I not following that guy on Twitter? Yeah, now I'm following you. Don't worry. Sorry. Good one. Kathy Griff the Invisible. What? John Hodge Batman. It's a good one. Louis Snit. Okay. That's a good one. That's a Wolverine. Should be snicked, right? What else we got? The Green Lampinelli. That's a good one. Superhero Comedians, 201-332-3484. Final 3 minutes of the Best Show. Louis Black Widow. Good one. Steve Martin Manhunter. Like it. A lot of weird DC ones. You DC people are weird. DC people are weird, man. Dude, are you Marvel or DC? Make mine, you got it. At Best Show, what do you got?
Larry the Superhero.
Say it again?
Larry the Superhero? Larry the Cable Guy?
That sucked. At Best Show, what do you got?
Sarah Silver Surfer.
Sarah Silver Surfer, really good one. Thanks, bro. At Best Show, what else we got? Robin Harris on Twitter. Got a... That one comes from Perry Shaw, frontman from Hound, who we heard earlier in the show. Good one, bro. That it? Superhero comedians, huh? We're done, eh? Hey, you think? Mike's like, I think you caught him off guard. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. We had four people on the line ready to talk about the thing I asked them to call about. And then... All right, here we go. At Best Show, you're on. At Best Show, you're on.
Jeff Foxworthy Flash.
You're on. Say it again.
Jeff Foxworthy Flash.
Jeff Foxworthy Flash?
Yeah.
You just stuck Flash on the end of Jeff Foxworthy's name.
Yeah, but the.
Jeff the Foxworthy Flash?
Well, no, the at the end of Foxworthy and Flash.
Jeff Foxworthy Flash. Okay, that's a really good one. I'm sorry I didn't get it at first. You were much smarter than I was on that one. Good one. Thanks,
thank
bro.
You.
At Best Show, what do you got? Hey!
Spider-Man Zookas!
Jason Spider-Man Zookas? I love it. At Best Show, what do you got?
Love it. Oh my god. Zach the Flashinakis.
Zach the Flashinakis. At Best Show, what do you got?
Rodney Dangermouse.
Rodney Dangermouse, not bad. At Best Show, what do you got?
The Ray Romano.
Say it again?
The Ray Romano.
The Ray?
Yeah.
Is there a superhero called The Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Where? What is he?
He's in the DC Comics. I guess he has a Ray aspect to him.
Yeah, I guess he would. I would think The Ray would have one. I like this one. Patton Eater Lad. That's a good one. That's Dugald coming through with that Fantastic Notaro. Mr. Fantastic Notaro. Good one. At Best Show, what do you got?
Dave Chappelle Boy.
What? At Best Show, what do you got?
Scott Aquaman.
Scott Aquaman. I think he probably used that, though. You're probably stealing their property, which means you will be sued by Earwolf. See you in court. At Best Show, what do you got?
Paul F. Tompkins, The Flash.
Okay. Just trying to kick me when I'm down. At Best Show, what do you got?
Lewis Black Bolt.
Good one. Bring the Inhumans into it. At Best Show, what do you got?
Gilbert New Godfreeds.
That's a really good one. Thanks, buddy. All right, let's end the Best Show. How about that? I'll just say, don't screen him, Mike. Should we do half-hour power? Yeah, let's do it. We're going to do the half-hour power, the Best Show post-show, 30 minutes of unscreened rapid-fire calls. Who's here tonight? The whole, so it's a lean and mean tonight. Final call. At Best Show, what do you got?
Andrew Dice Clayface.
That's very good. Thanks, thank you, buddy. Sir. All right. Best Show's over. I'm telling you guys, StereoLaughs.com, we're selling the tickets for the Philadelphia show. There's a Raleigh show, Raleigh, North Carolina, coming up at the end of February. But right now, and that is selling too. Tickets are selling well for that. So get your tickets if you want to go to that show. But the Philly show, it's all about the Philly show, East Coast. Head on out. December 13th, it's going to be fun. It's going to be special. Picture us in Philly. Fun times, you can only imagine. StereoLaughs.com. /tour. Thanks, guys. Best Show will be back next week. Appreciate all the support, all the calls, and as we say goodnight, let's listen to something by the Salad Boys from their Metal Mania LP on Trouble in Mind Records. And we will talk to you next week. And Half Hour Power is coming up next. Here are the Salad Boys. Sorry about that. We queued it up incorrectly. Here are the Salad Boys. Good night, everybody.